The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
And today is Monday, June 18th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a strong earthquake hit the Japanese city of Osaka during morning rush hour Monday, killing at least three people and injuring 214, Japan's government said. The 5.3 magnitude quake shook Osaka on Japan's main Honshu Island around 8 a.m. Monday local time, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. The Japan Meteorology Agency put the magnitude at 5.9. It rated the quake at 6 lower on the seismic intensity scale, meaning that the shaking would have been severe enough to make it difficult to remain standing. A 9-year-old girl was killed after becoming trapped by a damaged wall at a swimming pool facility at her school. Two elderly men also died, including an 85-year-old man trapped by a damaged block wall, and an 80-year-old man who was crushed by a falling bookshelf in his home. At least 214 others were hurt. Several roads suffered severe damage and water pipes burst, sending water flowing onto the streets. Nearly 700 people were in evacuation centers. 108,000 homes in northern Osaka were without water and gas, 170,000 without power.
They're saying, you know, you're seeing the activity with the Kilauea volcano in Hawaii, and they're saying that they're noticing a tick up in activity around what they call the Ring of Fire. So,
yeah.
You know, this is,
yes,
you're going to start to see some more of this, they believe.
Yeah, so apparently on the other side of the Pacific was a 5.6 magnitude quake that struck Guatemala at about 8:30 p.m. local time. And that's, they're saying both Japan and Guatemala are situated on the Ring of Fire, an area of intense seismic and volcanic activity on both sides of the Pacific Ocean. At least five people were killed and several others hurt Sunday as an SUV carrying more than a dozen people during a suspected smuggling event crashed while fleeing the border from patrol agents in South Texas. Authorities said the SUV carrying 14 people went out of control at more than 100 miles per hour and overturned on Texas Highway 85, ejecting most of the occupants. Four victims were dead at the scene. One and possibly two others died at a hospital. The Border Patrol said in a statement Sunday night that two other vehicles had been traveling alongside the SUV earlier in the day. An agent suspected that they were conducting a smuggling event, according to the statement, which did not elaborate. The border agent stopped one of the vehicles and another agent stopped a second vehicle. Multiple people from both vehicles were arrested. The third vehicle kept going when agents encountered it, and a sheriff's deputy took over the chase prior to the fatal crash, the Border Patrol agent said. The incident comes in the middle of the heightened tensions over the treatment of immigrants at the southern border. The Trump administration has said tougher immigration policies, even separating children from their parents, are needed to deter immigrants from coming to the country illegally. Over a six-week period ending in May, about 2,000 children had been separated from their families, administration officials said on Friday. Gunmen opened fire at an all-night music and arts festival early Sunday morning, sending people running over each other and scrambling to safety, authorities said. One suspect was killed and 22 people, including two suspects, were injured. Of 17 people treated for gunshot wounds, four of them, including a 13-year-old boy, were critically injured, but three had been upgraded to stable condition by evening. This was in Trenton. I don't know why they had an overnight festival in Trenton. That doesn't seem
it would end
well.
And Kathy, there were reports that this might have been gang related. Is that?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so shots rang out at
the arts festival
at 2:45 in the morning Sunday, as an estimated 1,000 or more people were attending the all-night art festival in Trenton that showcases local art, music, and other films. Numerous fights inside and outside prompted police to tell organizers that the event needed to be shut down because there were reports that the mood inside of the venue was changing.
Maybe it was the impressionists and the surrealists.
Oh probably. Yeah. Those guys always clash.
They were on the wrong turf.
Yeah.
So organizers were in the process of shutting down when the shooting started. Authorities believe several neighborhood gangs had a dispute at the venue and multiple suspects began shooting at each other with police returning fire. There was the 33-year-old that was killed apparently was recently released from prison and was on parole. All right. In sports this morning. Mikel Franco homered and drove in four runs, and the Phils held on to beat the Brewers 10-9 yesterday afternoon in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Rhys Hoskins and Odubel Herrera also homered as the Phils took two of three from the Brewers, who are tied with Atlanta for the best record in the National League. Brewers reliever Adrian Hauser, recalled from the minors before the game, vomited behind the mound while warming up in the eighth inning. He stayed in the game and faced two batters before throwing up a second time. And again remained on the mound, faced three more hitters, and finished the inning. The Phillies are back home tonight as they open up a series against the St. Louis Cardinals. Nick Pivetta gets to start. Game time is at 7:05. At the U.S. Open, Brooke Koepka became the first man in 29 years to win back-to-back titles as he shot a 2-under-68 to hold the Englishman Tommy Fleetwood by one stroke at Shinnecock Hills in New York. Koepka finished at 1-over-par, 281 for the championship, completing the first successful U.S. Open title defense since Curtis Strange in 1989. It was the first time since 2013 at Marion that no one broke par at the U.S. Open. At 11:32 a.m., seismic sensors in Mexico City detected a small earthquake, but it was triggered in an artificial manner, according to the group monitoring the gauges. The Institute of Geologic and Atmospheric Investigations reported that the quake was possibly because of mass jumping. The cause of the mass jumping was the Mexican men's national soccer team, who had just scored a goal against Germany in the match at the World Cup in Moscow. The Mexicans would hold on to the win, to win the match 1-0, defeating and defending the World Cup champion and recording one of the biggest upsets in Mexico's World Cup history. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thanks, Kathy. And welcome, dear friend, to another work week together. We have a Monday and we have stuff laid out for you as we get rolling on this steamy, hot, record-setting day. High's going to be up around 96 degrees or something. So this is the first really big one that we've had so far as the heat goes.
You're right. And a lot of people are going to have to dust off their thermometers to get them out on the front lawn, put Graham out on the lawn.
Yep.
And make sure that you're safe.
As soon as she starts to look a little peaked, you need to get inside.
Get inside.
Quickly, because that's...
That's how you can properly judge.
Forgot about the grammometer. No, but it's going to be index or indices, whatever you want to call it, in triple digits. So that's what it's going to feel like once we get into the heat of the day. So just a heads up on that and be careful if you're outside. You know what to do by now.
And I contend that if it is what it feels like, then that's what it is.
Yes.
So none of this nonsense. If it feels like it's 103, then it's 103 degrees.
Whatever it feels like to you, that's what it is. We have, you're going to love this, we have for our Word of the Week prize this week.
Yes.
We have a trip to Paris that we're giving away.
This is amazing.
Oh. Yeah, and it's for the premiere of Mission Impossible Fallout. So this will be two round-trip airline tickets, three nights hotel stay, two hop-on, hop-off bus tour boat ride passes.
Wow.
Admission for two to the premiere screening, and this is on July 12th. So, recommend that only people that have passports try to win this particular trip. You can, I mean, if it's July 12th, getting a passport quickly is kind of difficult to do.
It comes at a premium price. You can try it, but you're talking about spending a chunk of change to get it done.
Yeah,
spending a chunk of change and have it not even work, right?
Well, I mean, you'd be able to clear it.
It's less than a month.
You can go to the office and you can actually, you may have to wait all day, but you will leave with it the same day.
Oh, okay. Well, you just go to their radio division, radio contest division, and they'll handle everything.
So I just be prepared.
Yes.
If you win this trip, you do indeed need a passport. You're going to be going to Paris, France. So
let me check those things.
This isn't Paris, Kentucky. I mean, we're actually sending you across the Atlantic Ocean. So anyway, listen for your chance to win that. We'll start with the letter of the day today. We got that, and that's all we got. We have we're gonna have chit chat and fun and good times had by all.
Merriment to mirth, you're saying?
That's exactly.
Fun and frivolity.
Yep, all those things.
Hijinks
rolled up into one big burrito of entertainment here on the Preston and Steve Show. Actually, I do have some movie passes. We have a screening for tomorrow night of Jurassic World. I can give some of those away right now if you want. I'll take five callers, and we'll put you on that list, 215-263-WMMR. It's going to be at the UA King of Prussia, and it will be at 7:30, which means you should be there around 7 o'clock. So let's get on that. We're going to take a break, come back in a second. We'll roll through the entertainment news, a stupid question with more stuff to give away when we come back. So stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so stupid question this morning. Going to give away a $50 gift certificate for Bacon Me Crazy.
Bacon Me Crazy?
Yeah, it's in Phoenixville on Main Street. And the question that I have for you this morning is, which Beatles album cover features the band wearing epaulettes?
Ah.
Okay, so you're going to have to look that up if you don't know what that is.
Wrong one.
Which Beatles album cover features the band wearing epaulettes? 215-263-WMMR is the number. Call now if you know the answer. Today is Monday, June 18th, and I have some birthdays to share with you. We'll start with this one. Isabella Rossellini, actress and model. Movies like Blue Velvet. What else was she in? Death Becomes Her?
Yes.
She's in that one?
She's the one who has the elixir that keeps everyone young.
She's really hot in that.
She's super hot. She's sitting there like naked for half the movie.
I always thought she, I didn't get what the big deal was her about her looks-wise. Yeah. I didn't, and then I think it might have been that movie that made me go, oh, yeah, she is hot. But she's an interesting woman, and she is 66 years old today. I think she's done voiceover stuff before.
She probably has.
For animated characters. She has very, very distinctive voice. Yeah, that's from Blue Velvet.
That's what I was going for.
It was?
She's in Incredibles 2, Preston. She plays Ambassador. I don't know that. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yes. That's right. I remember seeing that at the credits at the end of the movie. I was curious who voiced her. All right, cool. So she's 66. Another interesting voice is Carol Kane. She was Simca Gravas on Taxi.
She was great.
Yeah, she is great. She's the ghost of Christmas Present, I believe, in Scrooged. And, of course, in The Princess Bride. She is...
Crystal's wife.
Yeah, what was his name? Miracle Max.
Liar!
I'm not a witch. I'm your wife.
You watch Kimmy Schmidt yet? Have you watched any of that?
She's great.
It's a good treadmill show for you.
Okay.
And she is absolutely hilarious on the show. She's really depraved.
Deranged.
Yeah, she's deranged.
And she's their landlord.
Yeah, but it's great.
Speaking of The Princess Bride, we did get a video apology from Cary Elwes for not being here last week. He was supposed to be here on Friday, and apparently he slept in.
He did.
And he sent a video apologizing to us. And he dropped a couple of movie lines in it, too.
He did.
A couple of movie lines, a couple of Preston Steve lines.
Yeah, he said gadzooks and so forth. So
you know what pissed me off? It was on over the weekend, and I watched
Princess Bride.
I'm like, oh,
man.
Should have been here.
I was bummed. So Carol Kane is 66 today. Hall of Fame Major League Baseball player Lou Brock is...
Who is Lou?
79. He played for the Cardinals. He was a base stealer. When I was a kid, when I was in like first, second grade,
he was
the man.
Wow.
He was the star of the team. So he's 79 today. Dizzy Reed, keyboardist for Guns N' Roses, is 55 years old today. And I think he's the longest tenured band member besides Axl that has been there for a consistent amount of years instead of, Slash and Duff who have gone away and then come back. So Dizzy's been there for a long time. He's 55. And then I saved the best birthday for last. We had a Beatles question. It is Paul frickin' McCartney's birthday today.
Wow. And I love this song.
Paul is celebrating his 76th birthday today.
Boodly boodly, I'm amazed.
And the man can still bring it in concert. He is just a machine.
So this is one song where it's a great song, but I always prefer the live version, which was released as a single as well.
I like them both.
Phenomenal.
He's just a
nice
songwriting machine. He's a nice guy. I had the opportunity to meet him and interview him, and he couldn't have been more friendly.
You'd think over the years, over the decades of being a legend beyond legends, that he would become a prick or full of himself. It appears not to be the case.
No, and in fact, the CEO of our former company told us this lengthy story about how he met up with Paul in, they were staying at the same hotel. And they ended up kind of palling around for the weekend.
No way.
Yeah. Now, kid you not, doing yoga together right. and all this other stuff. And he said that he just was an absolute gentleman and a fun, cool guy.
Per your recommendation, I went and saw him two summers ago at the ballpark. And it was one of the top five shows of my life.
He's amazing.
It was the only time I've ever seen any of the Beatles. And I was so incredibly blown away by it. And if you get a chance and he tours again,
yeah,
go see him.
Yeah, I went and saw him per your recommendation at the Super Bowl, and I thought he was pretty amazing.
Pretty damn
there.
Good.
Yeah.
Go see it and watch the football game while you're there.
Nah, you know, I just went for the halftime show.
All right. So Paul is 76 today and also celebrating a birthday today at 336 years, the city of Philadelphia.
Oh!
In 1682, William Penn found Philadelphia, calling it the city of brotherly love.
And we're throwing a heat wave in honor of it.
Yep, so happy birthday to Philly. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. Which Beatles album cover features the band wearing epaulettes? 215-263, WMMR is the number. Let's go to Shira. Hey, Shira, how you doing?
Hi, it's Sheila.
It's okay. Hey, Sheila. I thought that was an interesting name.
So did I.
Shira. No, Sheila, do me a favor and tell me what album, please, or what album it was.
Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band.
That's correct. Hang on a second. Apparently, the epaulette is the little fringy things they wear on their shoulders.
Oh.
And it's a French term for little shoulder.
Little shoulder.
And it signifies rank. On a military uniform, so I thought that was kind of interesting.
I used to stare at this album cover all the time and look at the little things, and especially when that, you know, that faux rumor came out about Paul, you know,
being dead.
Yeah, and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an awesome album. Outstanding, and the cover art is very, very cool. So you got it right, Sheila, and we're going to give you a $50 gift certificate to Bakin' Me Crazy. Located on Main Street in Phoenixville, stop by Monday through Friday, and mention Rock to receive free coffee and 10% off your meal. Not to be combined with gift certificates or any other offers. So congratulations. We will take care of you.
I'm sorry to call you out on this, Preston, but a texter noticed your stupid question and has an issue with it.
Oh, wow. Said they liked it better when it was a Carlin bit.
God damn it, will you stop ripping off George Carlin?
I'll do my best. All right, so
listen to your podcast to get caught up on
Yeah, I'm not going to go into
that deal.
All right, so at the box office over the weekend, no surprise, The Incredibles 2 was number one, and they knocked it out of the park with $180 million.
Whoa. Yeah. On a good weather weekend, too.
True.
Yeah, so that's a tough one, but they managed to pull that off.
It shot past Pixar's Finding Dory, which opened at $135 million 2 summers ago, so it went way past what they thought. It is the third largest opener of the year behind Avengers, Infinity War, and Black Panther, both from Disney's Marvel Studios. So they killed it, man.
Disney can give up that nighttime job now.
Worldwide, it took in $231 million.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Second was Ocean's 8 that made $19.6 million, followed by Tag. So was that the opening weekend for Tag as well?
It was.
Yeah. It did okay.
Well, that's between first and second, that's $180 million and what was
19.
So that's pretty close.
Solo, A Star Wars Story was fourth, followed by Deadpool 2, Hereditary. Superfly, Avengers Infinity War was eighth. Then you had Adrift and Book Club to round out the top 10. Huh. So Chris Hardwick's talk show on AMC has been pulled following allegations of sexual assault from his ex-girlfriend, Chloe Dykstra. He has also voluntarily pulled out of Comic-Con International panels that he was set to moderate. Nick had forwarded us this article last week. It was an essay posted to Medium late on Thursday. Dykstra accused a man whom she did not name of abuse and assault. Her description made Hardwick's identity very clear. And the following day, the website that he co-founded removed all references to him online.
So all that nerdist stuff. Yeah. Well, excised him completely.
Yep. So this going back to AMC said, we have had a positive working relationship with Chris Hardwick for many years. They said in a statement, we take the troubling allegations that surfaced yesterday very seriously while we assess the situation. Talking with Chris Hardwick will not air on AMC, and Chris has decided to step aside from moderating planned AMC and BBC America panels at Comic-Con International in San Diego next month.
So I read the article. She never says his name, right?
No.
All right. But because
every indication she gives, and that also is well known that she was with him for years.
All right, so she wasn't anonymous. I couldn't recall if the article was written by an anonymous person.
Right,
okay.
Talking with Chris Hardwick was scheduled to air Saturday with guest Donald Glover. Hardwick also hosts a game show called The Wall on NBC, and the network told The Hollywood Reporter that they are reviewing the accusations. This was a statement from, let's see, it says, these allegations about Chris Hardwick took us by surprise, and we've had a positive working relationship with him. However, we take the allegations of misconduct very seriously. Production on The Wall does not begin until September, and in the meantime, we are continuing to assess the situation and will take appropriate action based on the outcome.
Plus, he also has Talking Dead, both for the, for both shows.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The following day, the website he co-founded, like I said, removed all references to him online. Hardwick denied the allegations. He released a statement that said, I am devastated to read that she is now accusing me of conduct that did not occur. I was blindsided by her post and always wanted the best for her. As a husband, a son, and future father, I do not condone any kind of mistreatment of women, he said.
So in this case, where there's no... How does
losing...
this get hashed out?
I know. Well, and also, how is he losing his job? If he's,
well, he's
saying
not necessarily losing it. It's being pulled for now.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying, Kathy. I mean, I don't think he did anything illegal. It sounds like he was a terrible, awful boyfriend, if these allegations are accurate.
But he's saying they're not. So
right.
And you don't know. But, I mean, for somebody to, whatever, have their show pulled or lose their job or whatever over something that's not confirmed yet.
You just kind of wait for somebody else to confirm. Oh, my God. I dated him, and he was this way as well. But
he didn't do anything illegal.
Yeah, right. There's no charges.
And so does that mean that he deserves to lose his job because he was a terrible person and a bad boyfriend?
So here's the deal.
I don't know.
The companies that run the shows and own the shows can do what they want to do, you know, and if it's they believe it's casting a negative light on what they're putting out and their product, they can do it. However, and Kathy, I think you agree with me on this, where is the, you know, how do you get... Where's the court you get to bring this up for review?
Well,
you know?
Yeah. Okay, the way
it's a court of public opinion.
Well, to go further into this is the way that it works. So you have a show, they put out a product. The product makes money only by advertising support. That's it. For a lot of people don't realize it. The money comes in from people spending money on advertising time. That's how it works. Now, advertisers support a show. If they catch pressure from their buying audience saying, we will not purchase your products any longer if you continue to advertise this. Advertisers pull from the show. The show can't continue without advertising support. So they see this coming down the road. They have to do a preemptive strike and say, we're going to put this on hold till we review it and see what's going on.
Right.
It's just the way it works, folks.
Completely understood
it
and have understood it. At a certain point, though, let's say they discover that, maybe... There was, and I'm not saying I have every reason to believe her. I have every reason. I don't know.
Yeah.
What if it's decided that, well, maybe there was a little bit of looniness involved here and it wasn't what was being projected initially.
Right.
How do they correct? How is it corrected for him? It just can't. It just isn't. I can't imagine them going back and saying, listen, we made a mistake. We're going to, has it
now
happened to this point?
Right.
They'd have to do a PR campaign.
Right. And no one has rescinded. And still there are going to be people who believe whatever you want to believe about this. So it's immediately, you know, this is the decision and that's it. There's no ruminating on it. There's no deliberating on it. It's done.
Yeah. I mean, it's he said, she said.
Exactly.
And listen, on occasion, sure, you're going to have somebody that lies and is being vindictive. But I would think more often than that, you're talking about a victim and you're talking about that needs to be taken seriously.
If you read the piece, it's fairly extensive.
Yes.
And it's fairly extensive with a lot of anecdotal evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
And she said she wrote it several times and did not publish it.
Yeah.
And she wrote it and asked lawyers, asked friends, asked family if she should put it out there, and several times wrote it and then sat on it.
Yeah.
And then finally, last week on Thursday, she sent it out. And I think that takes an enormous amount of courage. And personally, I believe her. I just don't know what the protocol is with stuff like this.
And I think no one does.
Well, it is what, you know, kind of what I said. Look, that we got advertisers that we got to keep, that we have to that we rely on. And so they've got to take steps.
There's just such a rush to judgment without knowing it. And that's
may I recommend part of the
equation. Yeah.
And I think it's something we can all agree with.
Yeah.
Don't talk to strangers.
Yes. Wasn't it Rick Springfield that said
exactly,
that?
And look where he is.
Like, exactly.
So. He's a national icon.
Okay. So anyhow, we will see where this goes. The 2018 MTV Movie Awards and TV Awards, I'm sorry, are landing tonight. The ceremony will honor the best that entertainment has to offer through the year.
I'm so excited about it.
With fan favorite actors and pop stars on hand. So here's what you need to know before the party kicks off on MTV tonight at 9 o'clock. Tiffany Haddish is the hotly anticipated maestro for the show. She's also doing double duty. The comedian is up for the Golden Popcorn in four categories for her work in Girls Trip, Best Comedic Performance, Scene Stealer, Best Musical Moment, and Best Movie.
Uh-huh.
She's up for those. Leading the pack are Black Panther and Stranger Things. With nominations, they have seven nominations each. The performances. So MTV always has musical performances among the star attractions this time around. I know you're excited.
Oh, my God. Who?
Mustard and Nick Jonas.
Wow. No way.
Oh, God.
We'll take the stage to debut anywhere.
No A1.
And Chloe X and Halle will sing a medley. The Kids Are All Right and Warrior.
Awesome.
I don't know what that's all about.
So, Preston, you're so old.
I know. I don't know who Mustard is.
You gotta be
is.
A hipster like Mustard. All the condiments are going to be there. Is this what I forget? Because I will watch it, because I'll DVR it, and just for the purpose of the show, go through it.
This is early.
Right. Is it a case where they already sort of know they've won?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not really sure.
Because I remember that the winners are usually there almost as if. They were told ahead of time.
Yeah, I don't know why I know this, but this used to be the back to school special. You know what I mean? Like, this was like,
this
would always air.
You're right. They did
early September or whatever. Yeah.
Okay, so you know what Mustard is?
What?
It's the multi-unit space transport and recovery device. That's what that Nick just put Mustard into Wikipedia.
I like this one.
That thing's going to be there.
Yeah, the multi-unit space transport and recovery.
We have its speech from its first win, Preston.
Okay. It was a concept explored by the British Aircraft Corporation around 1968 for launching payloads weighing as much as 5,000 pounds in orbit.
I can't wait to see the show this thing puts on.
I know. All right, so the presenters will include Mila Kunis, Michael B. Jordan, Seth Rogen, Kristen Bell, Zendaya, Gina Rodriguez, and Common. I know all those people.
Yeah, we know them.
How about that?
Absolutely. We don't know Mustard.
Mm-hmm.
We had Common
you
in the
don't
studio.
Know Mustard. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, he was cool.
Yeah, he was a nice guy. And this year's Trailblazer, its own award, the Emmy Award winner, Lena Waithe. She's being recognized for her work for women and members of the LGBTQ community. Previous recipients include Emma Stone and Shailene Woodley. So that's tonight, friends.
And exciting.
That's what you need to know.
Hey, I'd like to be the first to formally invite you over to the house to watch it with me, Preston.
You know what? I'll be there.
All right.
I will be there. Do you still got that giant bag of popcorn?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm all over it. So Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson had a bit of a whirlwind romance and engagement.
They were
like a month or something like that?
Now they're engaged.
He got a tattoo first, right?
Two tattoos.
Of her...
Two Ariana Grande tattoos within like the first 2.5-3 weeks of being together.
Well, TMZ is now reporting that Pete was allegedly on a break with his ex-girlfriend Cassie David when he got together with Ariana.
This is interesting, and I even jotted it down. It may be something we discuss at some point. Are there any hard and fast rules for the quote-unquote break? Have you ever been on a break from someone? Have you ever agreed to go take a break?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because it became the stuff of pop culture lore on Friends.
Yep.
That was the famous taking a break debate. Well, what are you allowed to and not allowed to do when you're on break? You know?
I don't know.
You're supposed to be allowed to do anything.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Cassie and Pete went out for almost 3 years, and according to TMZ, were on a break for an indefinite amount of time before officially splitting. During that time, Pete allegedly hooked up with Ariana, and the rest is history. The news of Ariana and Pete dating burst onto the scene in mid-May, but the couple might have been together even longer than that. In fact, some believe Pete might have ordered the $93,000 engagement ring as early as then.
Behind Cassie's back?
guess so.
Son of a bitch.
Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson headed from Cleveland to L.A. to celebrate Father's Day with their two-month-old daughter, True.
Oh. You're the bestest father ever. Yeah,
with their two-month-old daughter, True.
It took a little while, but it was worth it.
The 33-year-old shared shots on Instagram stories of their pink-hued celebrations. One balloon read, "Welcome home, Chloe and True." A second balloon showed they were from sister Kylie and her daughter Stormy.
Chloe, stop eating the balloons.
Thompson, who reportedly cheated on Kardashian while she was pregnant, was not included in the pics.
They're full of helium.
But apparently he was there.
But they're still together, huh?
Oh, they're still together.
Guess so, man.
Yeah, she's 10. Right. She's being a little defiant about having his back. So yeah. It looks like she wants to make it work.
Ocean's 8 star Mindy Kaling says that white male critics are being unfair to the female-led reboot of the movie franchise. She said, if I had to base my career on what white men wanted, I would be very unsuccessful.
That's not true. I'm a white man, and I like her a lot.
I do, too. I think she's talking about, professional critics.
Damn them.
There is obviously an audience out there that want to watch things like Ocean's 8, which I work on.
I am a white man, aren't I?
Co-star Kate Blanchett agreed, saying the conversation has to change and the media has a huge responsibility.
Exactly. So take ownership and own it and correct it. We need to raise awareness. Did I cover everything?
You got it all. The Academy Award winner, Renee Zellweger, is portraying Judy Garland in Judy, a film portraying the singer at the height of her fame in 1960s London. But Garland's daughter, Liza Minnelli, is less than impressed.
Really?
Yeah.
Because we saw a picture of her done up as Judy Garland, and she looked damn close.
Yeah. She wrote, I have never met nor spoken to Renee Zellweger. I don't know how these stories get started up, but I do not approve nor sanction the upcoming film about Judy Garland in any way.
Well, Liza's so out of it. Just tell her that she's betraying Jeff Garland, and she'll buy that.
Minnelli wrote on Facebook this week, any reports to the contrary are 100% fiction. So she doesn't think that she's right for the role.
Huh.
This is really odd. Adam Morse is set to debut his first film. It's called Lucid, and will be at the Edinburgh Film Festival. Now, he's also sharing the news. This is the director, okay?
All right.
He's blind.
He directed a movie, and he's completely blind.
He suffers from a rare disorder called Leber's Hereditary Optic Neuropathy.
Leber.
And he began losing his sight 9 years ago.
So is it completely gone, or is it
almost all
reduced.
Gone. He has his periphery, and that's it.
Wow!
Despite the obvious limitations it imposed, he pressed on, telling The Guardian that he wanted to, quote, stop focusing on the limitations and instead concentrate on what I could do. So Billy Zane, who's in this movie, revealed that he had no idea Morse was visually impaired.
I didn't know the dude was blind.
He's blind.
I signed on to this movie, and you were telling me the guy is blind?
But it's Billy Zane.
What is wrong with you people?
So Morse powered through the challenges by using a 60-inch monitor. He has partial peripheral vision. He also used a screen
over
reader
here.
And leaned on his cinematographer, Michael Dierick, to help him out.
Am I looking the right way?
No.
Yes. Roll them.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Well, you know, you stop and think about it. The Kardashians have built an entire career, and they have no talent. Mm. So it's possible. Anything's possible.
I didn't even think of it that way.
Yep.
Yeah. This is sad news, Case. I don't know if we have any music that might pertain to this or not, but could you look it up?
Yep.
Got it.
Blues Brothers guitarist Matt Guitar Murphy passed away over the weekend. Yeah, according to the official Blues Brothers social media accounts, which is run by Judy Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. Murphy was 88 years old and was known as one of the most respected sidemen in blues, playing on many albums.
Love this guy.
And concerts as well. Yeah,
me and Elwood putting the band back together.
Don't talk that way around here. My old lady, she'll kill me.
Oh, this is
Matt? What the hell is he talking about?
Don't get riled, sugar.
Don't get riled, sugar me.
But babes, this is Jake and Elwood, the Blues Brothers.
The Blues Brothers?
That's him and Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
They still owe you money, fool. You two are going to just walk right out that door without Mad Guitar Murphy.
Now, you listen to me. I love you, but I'm the man and you're the woman.
and I'll make the decision concerning my life.
You better think about what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shut up, woman.
We need that, yeah.
Shut up, woman.
Oh, shut up, woman.
You better think about what you're trying to do to me.
He played with Hallam Wolfe, Muddy Waters, Memphis Slim. A lot of people probably never heard of Little Junior Parker, Ike Turner, Coco Taylor, Sonny Boy Williamson II, Buddy Guy,
Kevin Adam James, Federline.
Otis Rush, a whole lot of very respected blues craftsmen and women. He released his first album, Way Down South, in 1990. He also starred, of course, in the Blues Brothers movie and the Blues Brothers 2000. Murphy said in a 1999 interview that he enjoyed the making of the Blues Brothers. He said, at that time, I was in heaven. He said, I had never done a movie before, and
wow.
I didn't want it to end. We had so much fun doing that thing.
Do you know what I remember about him in the movie, Preston? He was jacked.
Yeah, he was in really
was
good
big.
Shape.
Yeah.
He had big arms. The official Blues Brothers Instagram page wrote, through his music, he will live forever. We ask that you join us while we offer condolences to the entire Murphy family, by the way.
All those musicians in that Blues Brothers band were top level.
Oh, you had Steve Cropper, who was in Booker T and the MGs, as well as Duck Dunn, who was a longtime great bass player, Lou Marini, awesome saxophonist. You can see him all over the place in the 1970s.
I saw Lou Marini in a video, and I had no idea that he was in it. It's a SNL bit that's really famous. He is in the King Tut video with Steve Martin. He's the one that comes out of the crypt as King Tut.
No kidding.
Playing the sax, and it's Blue Lou.
That's awesome. And Paul Schaefer was the dude behind the whole Blues Brothers thing. If you look on the live album, which is called Briefcase Full of Blues, he's like the guy right in the middle for the whole thing. So they were a collection of amazing musicians. Murphy's nephew, Floyd, posted a tribute to his uncle on Facebook, saying his uncle was a strong man who lived a long, fruitful life and poured his heart out in every guitar solo he took. So Matt Guitar Murphy, 88 years old, gone. So that's sad news. A couple other quick things. Let's go to Oprah.
Oprah!
Oprah has signed on with Apple.
Oprah and Apple?
Yeah. The deal falls outside of Winfrey's deal with OWN, which she, of course, founded and currently serves as CEO.
How's that thing doing, OWN?
I don't know. Oprah and Apple will work together to create original programs that embrace her incomparable ability to connect with audiences around the world.
It's a new brand called Oprah.
As Deadline points out, Netflix revived the talent wars this year by entering nine-figure deals with Shonda Rhimes and Ryan Murphy. So Apple and Oprah and Apple, they're together.
She wants to do her own version of American Ninja, so I think that would be very cool.
Yeah, I'd watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
How could you not watch that? All right, and then one last story. I think I have one last story. Yeah, one last story. Antonio Sabato Jr. is officially a single man.
What happened?
Well, just in time to hit the congressional campaign trail. According to the documents, the former soap star and his ex, Cheryl Marie, reached an agreement on their divorce back in December of 2017. However, it took several months for the judge to sign off.
Listen, baby, I'm going to be a politician and you're dead weight.
The exes have joint legal and physical custody of their 7-year-old son, Antonio III. As for property, he gets the house and a 2015 Fiat.
Mm.
They both agreed to return the Maserati that they were leasing.
Because we can't afford it.
Antonio has to pay child and spousal support through his, though it's light for a Hollywood divorce, he'll fork over $533 a month for his kid. Cheryl gets $350 a month in alimony. But only until April 2019.
They're both going to share the Xbox account, though, Preston.
They were only married for 5 years, and he also has to pay her $10,000 for attorney fees and agree not to take any drugs without a valid prescription.
Oh, well, maybe that was an issue.
Cheryl claimed that he had abused prescription drugs and was worried about their son's safety.
She gets to share his Netflix password.
Sabato admitted issues with sleeping pills, but said that he's an outspoken advocate on fighting addiction. He'll be the Republican candidate for California's 26th district come November.
This is what after fame looks like.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the clips, if you will, please.
Elementary follows Detective Sherlock Holmes and Joan Watson, played by Lucy Liu, who has directed a few episodes over the course of the show's 6 seasons.
I didn't know that.
Here, Lucy talks about what it's like to act and direct at the same time.
It's been a challenge, but I think it's to me, it's been such a wonderful creative experience, and the opportunity to do both really shows you, you know, what you're capable of.
I want to see you naked.
A new episode of Elementary airs tonight, 10 o'clock, and that's on CBS. Next clip. In The Proposal, 10 single contestants compete in a series of pageant-style rounds to win the heart of a mystery suitor. In this clip, Mike Fleiss, a former writer and producer of The Bachelor, talks about the appeal of his new show.
Everybody dates. Everyone's been in love. Everyone's had their heart broken. And so I think it resonates with a really wide audience. I don't think people give up on love. And love is a hard thing to try to find. And, you know, we haven't had tremendous success with the number of couples who have gotten married, obviously.
I want to see you naked.
It's a reality show.
This is not going to work out. Well, it's a good way to make money.
Dummy.
Honestly.
By the way, I'm the executive producer. Go figure, right?
Look at him shoveling this garbage. It's about love. It's this is what the integrity is. It's love.
You never turn your back on love. You remember years ago when Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire? We were just aghast at that.
Like, we were.
What? This is insanity.
Yes.
Here we go.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's
nothing. Where do you see the future leading us in entertainment, in reality
prime time snuff movies?
You know?
That's what I think eventually. What's off the table?
Yeah, exactly. Well, love isn't, clearly. Love is
exactly. It's about love. You know, love is, you can't turn your back on love. There's always love everywhere you look. It's always a great way to make money.
So the series premiere airs tonight at 10 on ABC. So we got another show about love.
Oh, my God. We'll be jumping between the MTV Movie Awards and this.
I don't know what to
do,
Steve.
What an exciting night.
I don't know what to do. All right. That's what I got for you in the entertainment report this morning. We welcome you back from a work week, a weekend into the work week. And we have a very hot day on tap for today. Today's high, they're saying potentially hitting a record of 96 degrees.
What is that? They issue a code orange, don't they, for air quality and all that stuff? And yeah. Kathy, isn't that the usual classification, code orange?
You know what? They just sent one out. Let me see what it is.
All right. Is it time to call the heat hotline just to make sure that we do everything that we
it's
need?
It's hot out there. It's perfect for love.
They got a new guy.
I know it's hot out there. Why don't I stay at home tonight and watch the best show about love ever? Yeah. 10 o'clock on ABC.
The proposal.
I don't know.
I'm the executive producer.
I love that.
He's going to answer in a second.
Oh, I'm the executive producer of the hotline. Hot out there. Are you in love? I want to hear about it.
Yeah. Yes, it is a code orange.
It is. Right.
Yes.
There we go.
What does that mean? What the hell does that mean?
Air pollution at levels that could compromise those of you in at risk, risk groups like seniors, young children, people who suffer from asthma, heart and lung conditions.
All right. And this table that we're reading up here says unhealthy for sensitive groups.
Uh-oh.
You know?
Pussies.
Yeah, pussies. Guys who watch Hallmark Channel all the time.
You don't know. It looks kind of scary out there.
Yes, exactly. So
you're so sensitive.
Yeah.
It's like in Bedazzled.
Oh, yeah.
Brendan Fraser
keeps looking at the sunset.
It's so beautiful.
All right. Well, we welcome you to Monday. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment or two. Don't forget, and I want to remind you of this, for our Word of the Week prize this week, we have a trip to Paris that we are giving away. Pretty excited about that. So we'll get the letter. It's at the end of the show. So stick with us, man. We'd love to send you off to Paris for a very special trip. We'll get you more details later on. Coming back in a moment.
New, old, and everything in between. MMR rocks.
Oh, shut up, woman.
Hey, there was a...
rest in peace.
There was a story in... And that was Matthew Guitar Murphy, by the way, from the Blues Brothers. He passed away over the weekend. But there was a story that Kathy had in sports.
Yes.
This morning. The Phils played the Brewers over the weekend. And they brought a guy up. His name is Adrian Hauser. And, Nick, he was just brought up from the minor leagues?
Yes. Yeah, so he was, he's a relief pitcher, and I think yesterday was his first appearance in the bigs this year.
Oh, boy.
And so maybe he was a little nervous. Maybe he went out and partied a little bit on Saturday night. Who knows?
Or was it the heat?
Could have been the heat. Very possible. I think that if it's his first time, well, anyway, what happened is he puked on the mound
and
twice.
And I've never seen this before, but before he even threw a pitch to start the inning, he was kind of circling the mound. He'd done some warm-up pitches, and then he went back behind the mound and threw up behind the mound. And then nobody knew what to do.
Yeah.
The manager came out.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, did somebody come out? Because
The grounds crew came out because they had to spread water all over the place where he just vomited.
I got to believe that this guy was nervous. I mean, it's the bigs. It's the show. It's his first time out there. And it just got to him. Do you guys know people who vomit from nerves?
Yes.
I do. I've never done it. Maybe there was one time.
Your first time on the runway
model. No. It was when I hid my report card from my dad because my grades were so bad. I woke up in the middle of the night puking because I was afraid my dad was going to kill me.
That's sufficient reason to puke.
Yeah. Yeah. But there are people who just from getting nervous will vomit.
My friend growing up, every first day of school, vomiting at the bus stop.
Really? Oh,
every time it was anything like that, vomiting would always happen. Okay. That was his trigger. It was a fight or flight sort of thing.
Yeah.
Do you remember when John Cena was in studio and our buddy John Dorenzi brought his son in and he was so nervous that he threw up on the door right outside of the studio?
Yes.
John Dorenzi did?
No, no, John Dorenzi's son, yeah, was, I believe, 11 at the time. And he was so nervous because John Cena was his hero.
Oh, my gosh.
And he threw up right on our studio door.
Wow.
Yeah, but this poor guy, Adrian Hauser, he threw up before the inning started and then he threw up again in the middle of the inning.
Okay.
I think if you throw up twice, don't they start to say, hey, maybe you're not well enough to be doing this?
Oh, my God.
Well, he said no, right? He kind of waved them off and said, no, I'm fine.
Yeah, and when he came out, when he puked the second time and the manager came back out, the announcers, Tom McCarthy and was it Ben Davis' case? They were like, get him out of there. Give him the hook. And he stayed in.
Going back to that John Cena story, how embarrassed are you if you're really excited to meet somebody
and you throw up on them
and you either puke on them or right in front of them right as you're about to meet somebody who you are you idolize or is your all-time
sometimes when you sense that, and we've been in the business long enough, I will throw up just to take the heat off the other people.
Okay.
I'll force vomit just to make everyone relax.
Yeah. Is everybody comfortable now?
Yes. Everyone good now?
Wow.
But it is, it's a weird thing. I can't imagine there wasn't one point in my life where I didn't throw up because of nerves. None are coming to mind. But in this case, the thing is that you have the sports photographers all around. So we had a glorious shot, a still of him in mid-vomit, hunched over as the matter is dripping out of his mouth. Beautifully photographed.
Here you go. Here's a great text. It says, I was an altar server. And on my first time doing, puked in front of the entire church on the altar. And I can imagine you're a kid, you're nervous, you're in front of everybody, you've practiced this, and now you've got to get out and do it. Oh, my God. Hang on, let me go to Jeff on the phone. Say, Jeff, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thanks, buddy. What's up, man?
So I got a quick story about two different instances at the same middle school concert. This was in sixth grade. I got two buddies, so I'm not going to name. They'd probably kill me. But we are sitting in the audience, getting ready to go on stage, and one guy throws up in the audience as we're about to go on stage. So everybody's like, okay, that's fine. We get up on stage. The other kid plays the baritone, and he throws up into his instrument.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
All over himself, all over his section mates, all over the floor. And we had to, stop the song. And, of course, it's sixth graders, so we're all losing our minds at this point. And the concert was just pretty much over at that point.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't kids, do you find that kids are more likely to be influenced by another kid vomiting and vomit themselves? There's a chain reaction in vomiting, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm a teacher right now, actually, and I've seen it happen before. One kid has to go to the bathroom, five other kids have to go to the bathroom, one kid vomits, everybody else is like, ooh, I should vomit too.
I should vomit as well.
Were these guys sick or were they nervous?
They were nervous. They were not sick.
Oh, my gosh.
God almighty.
I mean, that's a foreign thing.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, right?
It's a foreign thing to you?
Yeah.
Never.
You vomit for all the right reasons.
Well, you vomit when you're sick.
Yeah.
Casey, leading up to the Super Bowl, did you read the stories about Brandon Brooks and his anxiety?
Yeah.
So he's the offensive lineman or an offensive lineman for the Eagles, and he has anxiety so bad that he would throw up every game. And he's gotten it under control. He understands it a little bit better, but he would throw up beforehand. He would miss games.
He would miss games because
it got in his head so much, and it manifested itself in this physical way.
And another manly thing, Judy Garland would vomit, actually, before she'd go up on stage so bad that she had to get hypnotized prior to going up. That's how bad it was.
Was it the prescription drugs that she was abusing?
She used the prescription drugs to kill the pain of the of the anxiety, yeah.
I saw a text, I have to poop when I get nervous.
Huh. Really?
Usually. Well, not
it's
nervous.
All. It's all.
I guess excited.
My friend was the same way. We played Capture. Yeah. Like, dude, he would just get so amped up playing Capture or throwing snowballs at cars. He'd be like, "Oh my god, I gotta go!" Because we
would go poop.
We would throw snowballs at cars, and the cars would chase us.
Yeah.
And when we would start getting into that running mode, he'd be like, "Oh my god, I gotta poop every time."
I have never had that as well.
Yeah. Somebody had a great text message here. It says, face it, Flounder, you threw up on Dean Wormer.
Yeah, there you go. That's a perfect example of nerves.
I want to go to Laura because he has an issue with this. Hi, Laura. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Laura?
So I actually have a medical condition called cyclic vomiting syndrome.
Really?
And it's a neurological disorder that's based off of, like, stress. Pretty much good stress or bad stress.
Okay.
So every time I get like really excited about something or really nervous or upset about something, I throw up and end up in the hospital.
So end up in the hospital. So we're talking even joyously excited about something, you'll get.
Yeah. So all right. Like every birthday party growing up. All that stuff.
Why do you have to go to the hospital? What do they do for you?
I can't stop throwing up, so they basically give me an IV of the medication that I take and then just kind of rehydrate me. And
wow.
I've never heard that.
So Laura, do you have to essentially take a barf bag of some sort with you everywhere?
Pretty much, yeah. My husband keeps me highly medicated on my daily stuff that I need. But it's crazy. It's good stuff, it's bad stuff. So we're actually leaving for our honeymoon on Wednesday, so we're just keeping it very low key. And
all right. I have to ask, because you're bound to get excited, you know, prior to romance. Do you get that same reaction?
No, it doesn't to that extent. No, not usually.
All right. How many pocketbooks have you vomited into?
Two.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
I believe it.
I've never heard of that. Well, we're sorry to hear that for you.
Yeah, hang in there, Laura.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, but we're men.
All right, thanks. All right, we'll see
you. You know, it's part of that also, Preston, that the fight or flight reaction is to animals will sometimes defecate and vomit. It's a reaction to reduce body weight and increase mobility.
Yep, exactly.
So that's that whole reaction. It might be part of that.
When I would be going to a concert, as I'd be pulling up in the parking lot, I would have to poop because I was so excited.
Wow.
I
have a newfound respect for you.
I used to, when I was playing, you know, shooting dice regularly, Mr. Devereaux. I would have to absolutely take a dump before I would go because I was all excited about playing.
It's funny because the crabs.
Yeah, exactly. I got the crabs.
Crabs? No, I want to take a crab.
Here's one. It says, my wife vomits when she gets scared. No haunted houses for us. So she might actually puke at a haunted house when being startled.
You know, and that's, of course, any place where you're around other people like that, you're in a haunted house, you know, I think it makes it 10 times worse. There's no place to go.
How about this? I've never heard. This person says, I am 50 years old and I puke just about every morning.
Wow.
From nerves.
Oh, my gosh.
You've got too much stress in your life. Don't know what to do about that, but that sucks. Let me go to Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Mike. Hey, how's everything going?
Going well, Mike.
Everything is going
great, we're all Mike as well.
What's going on,
buddy? We're like Negan.
Hey, so I spent most of my college years taking makeup exams because I would get so nervous beforehand I'd end up puking and staying in my dorm room having to take care of issues.
You get so nervous that you would be physically unable to go take the test.
Exactly. Wow. I actually physically throw up several times to the point where I would have to spend the rest of my day out of classes and have to
wait
for makeup exams.
Mike, how did you do when it came to the makeup exams? I mean, obviously, there's still nerves involved.
For some reason, I would do all right. I passed. I did well. I graduated college.
What about the stress of the actual experience doesn't change simply because it's being called a makeup test. It's still the test.
I don't know, but I did find out later on when I was turning around 40 that I had an anxiety disorder, and that was a precursor to it. Mm. I never knew that I had any sort of anxiety issues in general until recently.
Wow.
But I spent most of my time doing that. But my makeup exams were, I guess, more in a private situation, outside of a class environment.
What about
surrounded by a lot of other people.
Mike, what about dating and all that stuff? You know, as you're like asking a girl out or getting nervous prior to that, would you vomit?
No. No, huh. No. I'm happily married 22 years now.
I mean, she's covered in puke, but it's wonderful. All right, well, wow. Cool. I'm glad to hear that.
Thanks, yeah. Mike. I got two separate messages just like this. This is interesting. One said, I have to poop every time I walk into a Home Depot.
Wow.
And then another one says, I have to poop every time I go into Lowe's or Home Depot.
Hardware store. Wait. In a hardware store.
But maybe they're getting so excited over the fact that they're at Home Depot and Lowe's.
Because they got everything.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you're like a kid in a candy store.
I got to poop.
They do have nice bathrooms, though.
Do they?
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
I've not been in there.
Yeah, me neither.
Really? Well, you'd figure they have all the fixtures right there.
Yeah.
True.
I pooped in them.
In the store displays, you shouldn't do that.
No?
They're not hooked
but
up,
right,
Casey.
There. Oh, wow.
That's interesting. I wonder if, Kathy, do you ever get, now, I'm
turned on?
You don't want to talk about pooping, but yeah. When you're going to go for, you know, like Black Friday sales, heading out,
no.
Getting all excited.
No.
No?
No, but every time we go to a restaurant, Jace has to use the bathroom, like almost every single time.
The second you walk in?
Yeah.
For both? Full service?
Oh, yeah. All right. He's got to go.
Wow.
Here, I want to go to Patty. Hi, Patty, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you,
Patty. What's your story?
Hey, I was in the studio one day. This was a few years back, and it was a group of MMR, you know, fans, whatnot. And we're sitting there, and I was doing okay and everything, but I suffer from horrible anxieties. And I'm sitting there, and sorry.
You nervous right now?
Start vomiting. Yeah. Get those dirty words out.
I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to puke. Yeah. And I'm sitting there, I'm fighting it. And I kind of motioned to the guys in the booth, and I'm like, I have to get up. And they're like, no, you have to sit. And I'm like, oh, my God, my worst fear is coming true. Aww. I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to puke in front of my favorite DJ guys.
So who are you closest to? Who would you have puked on?
Probably you, Steve.
I had a feeling.
Patty? It would have been awesome if you would have puked.
I would have taken it. It would have been great radio.
Yep, we would have loved it.
It would have been horrible.
No.
But I said a little prayer, and I was like, oh, my God, thank goodness. And you guys took a break, and I sat out in the green room then for a little bit just to, like, comment.
Wow.
Oh, well.
It could have been worse. It could have been poop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Patty.
Have a great day.
All right, appreciate it. See you later. Okay, so other text messages coming in.
Hardware stores?
Other stores. So this one says Kohl's makes me poop. another one said Target. Another one said Best Buy. There are a lot of them.
What's the biological? Is there a
There has to be a connection.
What's the dynamic? What's happening?
With excitement.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
You know what I mean? Or.
Or maybe it's just timing. You know?
It could be timing. It could be that.
I've pooped in every store, pretty much. I've pooped. Oh, Jesus. You know?
Casey, there are a lot of businesses in this country.
These people are saying that it's when they go there.
Yeah.
Like every time, you know, it's some kind of excitement. You know.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's got to be connected to excitement.
Preston, when you today's McCartney's birthday,
yes.
When you interviewed him, were you nervous so much so that you had to poop?
I smell something. What is that smell? It's horrible. It smells like Ringo.
It smells like Ringo?
Yes. Oh, my God. I haven't smelled that in years.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Okay.
But I was extremely nervous. But I don't feel...
Let him poop.
I don't remember being so nervous that I would puke.
But listen, you're wonderful, but I can't stand the smell.
Well, when you tell that story, you didn't have a lot of time to get too terribly nervous because you didn't know that far in advance.
I had no idea.
Right.
They said it's time for the interview, and I'm like, what interview? Are you going to interview Paul? And I'm like, what? So maybe I just didn't have time. Let me go to Wow. There's a lot of interesting calls here. I will go to Henry. Hi, Henry. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, not much, man. My daughter, we used to go to Kmart, man. She would, it was a trigger. She would go right in the clothing rack, hide, like, close all the clothes around her. So yep. She was totally hidden in there. And she would do her little poopy thing in her diaper.
You are saying that, okay, I thought she was an adult on first. Like, okay. All right, so your daughter would go every time you went to Kmart?
Kmart. It was a trigger, man. It was just, I don't know what it is.
It was just that store in particular.
And she would go into the circular clothing racks.
Right, because she was little, she could just squeeze under, go in the middle, and you could hear her straining. And doing her little thing.
Tell me she broke that, right? She's not in a, how old is she now?
Oh, she's 26 now, but... Dude, we always tease her about Kmart. We're like, if you get constipated, go to a Kmart.
Yeah. And there's fewer and fewer. Yeah.
There's no more Kmart.
That's hilarious.
That's funny. I love it, Henry.
Kmart makes her crap.
Thanks, man.
All right,
have a good one. Let me go to Amanda. This is all about puke and poop. We'll take both. Yay. I'm going to go to Amanda. You're on the air. Good morning, Amanda.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
So whenever I go hunting, I guess with the anticipation, I'm waiting, you know, the buck fever kind of thing.
Yeah.
I usually throw up in the woods, and a few minutes later, something usually comes out, and I get something, whether it's, you know, a deer or a turkey. My first time turkey hunting with my boyfriend, we're sitting on the ground, and I turned to him, and I whispered, I think I'm going to throw up. And I did, and then I looked up, and then there they were. He was just shocked, like, what the heck just happened here?
Wow, so you have some sort of precognitive talent there, but it manifests in vomiting.
I guess that's like, you know, buck fever or whatever comes and gets me.
That's your version of Spidey sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You vomit in anticipation of prey coming across your path.
Interesting.
Yeah. Huh.
All right, yeah. Thank you.
Out in the woods, shooting turkeys and vomiting.
Let me go to Erica. Erica, good morning. Hey, Erica. Thanks for singing. What's up?
Morning, guys. You're awesome. So,
thank you.
I've been running races, not in the most recent years, but for prior years, I used to run half marathons, 5Ks, and a variety of race sizes in between. And without a doubt, I will throw up every time at the finish line. So every one of my finisher photos, I'm throwing up in. And usually it's on someone in front of me.
Oh my God. Have you ever been punched?
No, actually people couldn't be any nicer. It's the strangest thing. So, you know, not only am I ruining my own finisher photo, but somebody else's. And years ago, the first time I did Broad Street Run, I threw up right on the girl in front of me and she turned around. Couldn't have been any nicer. Was trying to offer help for me, and I'm like, "Girl, God bless you. Yeah, I'm so sorry."
So would you say you threw up basically at the end of every marathon?
So half marathons, 5Ks, and any size race in between. So it doesn't even matter the length of the race.
So it's not like it's because it's a marathon.
Yeah, that sounds like it's exertion, right?
It's nerves.
Oh, it's nerves?
It's like the anxiousness of like getting to the finish line, like I'm finally there.
Yeah.
I'm basically holding it in for the last like quarter mile, and then I cross the finish and I'm done.
Where you'll see it like for physical exertion, for example, if you go to Gold's Gym, the original Gold's Gym in Venice, they actually have buckets around the place.
Yeah.
No.
For vomiting because the guys are moving ridiculous amounts of weight.
Oh my God! You know who? Thanks, Erica. By the way, who used to when we used to go down here and train Krav Maga? Ernie would come out and train some of us, and Marcus would come and train.
Yeah.
You used
Marcus
to mention.
Puked every time we would work out. He'd run out of the door, and if there were new people that were there, they were like, "Just what happened?" It was like, "Yeah, he's puking."
Fair enough.
He would run out of the studio that we were working out.
That's his defense.
And go vomit. Yeah.
But that was exertion. Like
that was exertion.
He was pushing himself to the limit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely. Nick pulled up this syndrome of sorts. It is called the Mariko Aoki phenomenon, and it is a Japanese expression referring to an urge to defecate that is suddenly felt after entering bookstores.
If you excuse me, I have to take a poop.
Yeah.
Yeah, a few people texted in that anytime they go into a Barnes & Noble, they have to do this.
Really?
Time to read and poop. I wonder if it's connected to crapping and reading on the toilet.
It says here the series of processes through which being in a bookstore leads to an awareness of a defecation urge is something that cannot be explained from a medical perspective as a single pathological concept, at least at present.
Hold it here, Preston. Wasn't there, who had this story of someone going around crapping in the aisles of a Barnes & Noble?
Kathy.
Was it you, Kathy?
Wait, I'm sorry. Say that. No, it was...
Crapping in a bookstore.
Yeah, but it wasn't continuous. It was one time.
It was
remember
a one-off?
He pooped his pants in the... It
oh,
was the,
all right.
My
oh.
little cousin. Yeah.
I'm wondering if...
it might
I
be.
Wonder how many bookstore... If people who work in a bookstore have noticed this, please contact
the
us.
The Mariko Aoki phenomenon. Chuck D'Amico has odd bathroom habits.
No, I was going to come in here and say,
oh.
I'm like, oh, they're not going to care, but it's libraries and bookstores for me.
Is it really?
There you go. Okay.
Ever since I was, it actually has a name? It's actually
yes.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
like amazed.
Mariko Aoki phenomenon.
So remember, what happens to you and how many bookstores have you crapped in?
No, never crapped in an actual bookstore, but remember like when you're a kid and you would have library as like class?
Yeah. Yes.
So I always dreaded having library because I always had to poop.
So,
and
wow.
still to this day, like if you go to
oh,
a
yeah.
library?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, I don't go to libraries.
Right.
Yeah.
But bookstores, yeah, sure.
Do you, if you're around just books in general, like if you're in someone's house and they have a library, will
no.
you start to poop?
No.
Let's put a
no.
You know what?
I mean,
I'll
poop anywhere.
So I don't get the urge to go to the bathroom when I go into like a Barnes & Noble, say, but I do get this interesting... excited sensation when I go in because, you know, there's just so much there. There's yeah. so much. There's anything you want there. You know what I mean? And maybe that's it for you, Chuck.
But dude, I had these attacks in library class. Like, I used to have to pretend I was looking for a book, like, that was on a low shelf. And, like, I was really, like, holding it hard. Yeah.
Wow.
Do you think the employees of these stores know?
That's what I was wondering, Nick. Yeah, like if they can see some... Oh, here we got another. Here comes another guy.
I mean, the people that just come in, make the beeline right for the bathroom and then...
Yeah.
No, it's not like, you know, you open the door and you got to go. But, like, you're walking around the store and suddenly you're like, holy moly.
That's why they call it the...
It loosened you up.
That's why they call it the Dewey Decimal System.
No, I remember way back when I was a smoker. First cigarette of the day.
Yeah.
Loosen you up.
It's the best.
It's something would relax you, whatever it is. Might yeah. be a similar type of thing,
you know,
it is.
Coffee does that. But if I was a smoker and drinking coffee in a bookstore, man, look out.
Oh, my God. You grab your cigarettes. Go take out a book on the Colombian coffee trade.
Yeah. I had to, most recently, I went to Walmart after we went out to breakfast after the Memorial Day Kenan's thing.
Uh-huh.
And I went to Walmart and I had to poop there. But I don't. It had nothing to do with me being in a Walmart or in a store or whatever.
Just because you're a happening guy.
No, I think it had everything to do with me just having ate. Breakfast not
yes.
too long ago.
Right.
I tried to not go to the bathroom for a long time, and at one point...
Oh, no. What's it going to be?
I had my headphones in, right? So
yeah.
I have no idea how loud it was.
Oh.
But holy moly, did I fart for like 10 seconds straight. And nobody was in my aisle, but I could see through the I could see through the shelves, somebody on the other side of the aisle. I'm like, I have no idea how loud this is. So did you go with the Walmart? I did. I had to. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Because I can tell you where I went that morning. I went in an antique store.
On Route 9.
Wow. Yeah, on Route 9.
We have a lovely end table.
Wait, and... So do you, like, pretend to shop a little bit? And then
well,
say,
that, I mean, like, I had, I told you guys at breakfast, I had some time to go up Route 9 and kind of hit all the little weird shops and stuff. And I was in this really big, I forget what it's called, but it's really awesome. And they have, like, all this really fancy furniture outside. And I went and they have a new cafe, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to go in here. So I'll go anywhere.
By the way, you're going to want to keep this drawer shut.
They had a bathroom.
This drawer.
Casey, by the way, if you've said that you don't know how loud it was,
yeah.
It was loud.
It was loud.
Because,
yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but I've heard you fart a couple times.
No. Oh, man, I try to hide it.
And you're very loud. Someone says that their mom has to poop every time she goes into a craft store.
This is amazing.
I wish I didn't know that about my mom.
I want medical reasoning as to why this happens.
If Steve, it's just, they can't connect it. That's what this phenomenon saying anyway to the bookstores. Like, there's no, they can't connect it medically.
Do you think it's Pavlovian at all?
I think it's Pavlovian. Yeah. I think, for example, Preston, there's a direct correlation between the nicotine of a cigarette and all of that in causing that. But what would make you want to crap when you walk into a bookstore?
Let me go to Bonnie. Hi, Bonnie. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. You guys work.
Thank you, Bonnie. What's up?
All right. So I got two things that are guaranteed to make me poop.
Okay.
Number one, Victoria's Secret semi-annual sale.
Oh, that's so hot.
You ruined it. Oh, my God. You ruined it.
Victoria's semi-annual sale is on. Start pooping, ladies.
Oh, dear God.
And then what's the second one?
Ever since I was a kid, if there's a water park, a pool, or an ocean, the second my big toe hits the water.
Okay.
Do you see why I hate public pools?
Somebody also texted in and said every time they go to the pool.
My mother hates the kid dragging me into the ocean because every time the second I get to the water, she'd be like, gotta go poop.
So, Bonnie, can you even guess as to why Victoria's Secret's semi-annual sale makes you poop? Is there a correlation? Excitement?
Excited.
Okay.
Excited. Yeah. I'm going to get such a good deal. I spent $100 on a bunch of crap that nobody's ever going to see.
Yeah.
Wow. That is, they need to put that in. How good Thanks, are our Bonnie. Sales? They'll make you S.
Yeah. I like it. I will go to Debbie has an interesting observation here. Hi, Debbie. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's
First-time up? First time caller here.
Oh.
I heard this study. I can't back it up at all, but that when you're walking and the flooring changes beneath your feet, it shifts something in your body, then you have to go to the bathroom. And I've seen it happen to my friends. It hasn't happened to me, but we go to the mall, they have to go to the bathroom. We go to the grocery store, they have to go to the bathroom. We go to a furniture store, they have to go to the bathroom.
When flooring changes, your body detects a difference in the texture, and that prompts a poop response?
Apparently so.
Huh.
Interesting. All right. Thanks, Debbie. I can't say that being for everybody, obviously, or else you'd be, you know, I mean, how many different flooring changes you go through in the course of one day? I don't know.
I guess then you poop on the threshold every time you pass from one room into the other.
Well, it's like I've told you before, there was a study that says when you walk through a doorway, sometimes you can forget what you were thinking about or your reason for doing it because of you're entering to a new area.
Yep.
That happens all the time.
And it's like going through a passageway of sorts. But
I go back to where I was and try to do it again to see if I can remember what I went in for.
Maybe you poop to leave a mnemonic bookmark, so to speak.
No.
What was I thinking about when I took a dump in this aisle of the Barnes & Noble?
I'm going to go to Walt. Hi, Walt. Good morning.
Gadzooks,
man. What's up?
I know what it is.
What is it?
It's smell.
Smell.
Okay, so there's certain scents that will do it for you?
It's a bookstore. No, it's a bookstore. It has a certain smell of paper. When you go into a Sam's Club, it has a certain smell. When you go into Target, it has a certain smell.
I know, I love
you
Target
know what
smell.
I'm talking about.
Walt, I'm inclined to believe that probably has a strong influence over it because of a
cigarette you smell.
Yes. Well, I think also like a hardware store has a smell. Yes,
it absolutely does.
Yeah.
The one that stands out to me is like a Target. It always has the same smell.
You and Kathy should go out on a date.
Kathy, you legitimately believe that? You love the smell of that store?
No, I mean, I know what he's talking about. I would say like Barnes & Noble has that smell. Obviously, all of the books, the paper. Target, it's just like a scent of joy.
What store causes you to have explosive diarrhea, Kathy?
Home Goods. No. Home Goods.
Let me go to Tony next. Hi, Tony. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, my man.
Hey, I got me and my wife, like, we were at her something one time, and you know what? I had to go. And the lady was there, you know, the real estate agent, and of course, I didn't tell my wife that I needed to go because I knew she would have been freaking out.
Okay.
So I sneaked into one of the bathrooms in the house and took a big crap. And it was reeking. And the funny thing was, there was other people coming in the door.
Oh, no. So it was like an open house or something?
It was an open house. and I'm up the stairs and I'm taking a dump. And it was raking.
You got a half desk gonna leave now because it's raking really bad.
Oh my God!
Yeah, we're just gonna level this house.
The paper came off the walls. I'm out of here. You know what I mean?
Did your wife drag you out of there?
And the people who were coming in on that day wouldn't even go in the bathroom.
Oh,
well, yeah.
I wonder if a house.
I wouldn't have bought the house.
No, if it smells like a blown out ass.
I'm out.
No,
it was bad. I'm one of them guys that needs to go wherever I go.
Yeah. Oh, wherever you go, you
close
get the
to
urge.
Schools. It smells like a detonated ass.
Right. All right, Tony. Thanks.
Who wouldn't want?
See, it was wrecking.
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 Well, you're going to buy this dump or what?
All right. Let me get a couple more calls and we got to take a break. I'm going to go to Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Gazooks.
Gazooks. What's up, buddy?
I love you guys.
Thank you.
What'd you call that? The Kobayashi Maru?
The Kobayashi Maru. The same thing that almost foiled the Captain Kirk on the Enterprise.
Exactly. Now, I got your medical reason. Every time I walk into Walmart that I'm not under pressure, Home Depot, don't matter. As long as I'm not in a hurry, I just got to go.
Really? So this is, if you're there, you got some time to look around a little bit, you find yourself needing to go.
That's it.
Let me ask, though, in general, because a lot of people in the morning, so say you're going to Dunkin' Donuts. You're going to get your, like, a bran muffin or something,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to get your coffee. That, to me, would seem to be a Pavlovian thing. Would you, do you start to have to poop prior to purchasing that? I'm not hearing anybody say that that's what triggers the response. It's what happens after you drink the coffee and the bran muffin, but yet you're ending up with this, you know what I'm saying? You're being trained to associate one with the other. Just simply, but no one's saying when I drive to Dunkin' Donuts, when I walk in, I immediately have to, poop, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I mean, the
because of hardware store.
There's definitely, when you eat food, your system knows, and I've talked to Dr. Mike about it, it moves stuff around. It's taking stuff into the stomach. It knows it's going to have to move, make some room in the intestinal tract, so that you'll go to the bathroom shortly after you eat, usually, unless of course you're constipated or something like that.
Yeah, I don't. I just have pooped in so many stores, but I've never drawn a, you know, correlation.
I'm seeing a Travel Channel show here.
you're just a different type of person.
I do have to say,
today that we go to Sears.
Hardware stores have the I think the nicest bathrooms, and it makes sense. I mean, like, all that stuff is there. Like, it's beautiful tile.
What?
Yeah.
What about hotels? Hotel lobbies are the best.
As far as getting you, like, your bowels to move?
Yeah. If you need an emergency and you need a place to go and you're near a hotel lobby, that's my go-to. I will definitely go there over a Home Depot or a Lowe's.
There are no establishments that make me want to go to the bathroom, and particularly because usually they're, you know, since they're public bathrooms, they're not private. You don't get to, there's a tough
let her rip.
You know, Bill next to you is taking a grunt as well, and I don't care for that.
Slightly different, but remember when we used to do the camp out right outside of the Ulta store, and at first, before that, you know, you were welcomed in there, you'd have to pretend you were shopping.
Right. Yep. It was laughable for me to walk in, and I'd be holding up two things of blush, like,
Well, I remember.
Now, if you excuse me, I'm going to have to rip my own anus out.
I remember Preston telling me he was, like, pretending to browse a little bit as he made his way to the back of the store.
Ladies, it's a wonderful day, isn't it? You're going to want to put your fingers in your ears. You're going to hear screaming and some sloshing.
But Kathy, you know what I remember about that bathroom is it smelled nice.
It had a big bowl of potpourri. It had a drain in the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It had just all the wonderful appointments because it was a little spa thing going on there. Like, you go into the bathroom like a Joseph Anthony, forget it. You can fall asleep in there.
Yeah, those are awesome. Yeah, Ulta had a little salon in the back.
Yeah.
So that's why it had
and a caricature artist.
I didn't see the caricature artist. Let me go to Dr. Rich wants to explain some of this stuff to us. Hello, Dr. Rich.
I'm a scared.
Don't be a scared, Dr. Rich. What kind of a doctor are you?
My background's in psychophysiology, essentially the mind-body connection.
Well, you are our man then.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Right. Do tell. You're hearing all these stories about people going into stores and immediately having to go to the bathroom. What's the reasoning behind that?
You guys are on the right track with the Pavlovian connection. The running theory now is that there was some type of conditioning element. Basically,
you had a very pleasant experience in that store. It evokes something called the relaxation response, and your fight and flight response drops, and your sleep and poop response rises. So to Casey's point about the hardware store being, you know, a great place, you know, a very pleasing environment, your body remembers that by being in and around that environment again, and that response is kind of like a knee-jerk reaction, and you just got to go.
Oh, is that kind of like when a dog is
kind of... That's what I was going to say. Like, yeah. We were talking about this earlier, that the dog will look at you if you're walking the dog to make sure that you seem calm when it goes to the bathroom, almost because it... to make sure it's comfortable to do that.
Yeah, but clearly a dog, I mean, a dog can go anywhere, right? But a dog, when you're taking your dog for a walk, clearly he has to poop, right? But he chooses where to go.
Exactly. And a lot of times the dog will look for an environment it's been in before because it considers that environment safe. And a lot of times the dog will look at its owner almost for like a sense of approval of the area. But essentially it's...
Thumbs up, buddy! Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. No, so then, like, with it's not, it is the sense of security you feel when going into these places that elicits this response.
Yeah, and just walking in the front door, you have it, your body, even on a subconscious level, remembers the experience you had in that environment, and it's pleasing to you, and your fight and flight drops. Even if there's a sense of excitement, it's still a sense of calm and safety, and you just gotta go.
Wow. Ah, very interesting.
As they say, got to go to Moe's.
Thank you, Dr. Rich. Appreciate it. Case?
You know what I hate is, you know when you're walking to the bathroom here? And yes. You clearly, you know, things start to, like, loosen up and you're like, okay.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
When the cleaner's in there.
Yes!
Yeah, you've got, like, an internal body clock going and you're like, I got 15 more feet to make it.
Yes.
Before
I
need
body...
to turn the corner and they're there. And you're like, oh, no.
I kid you not. Yeah. I kid you not. When I've gone, I've, like... Oh, you see the thing, like, there, and then I go in and I slam the door as I go up the stairs or down the stairs.
Yes.
And then I have my, so I go to the bathroom right out here. If that's effed up, I go up to the fifth floor, which is usually good.
Yep.
If there's someone in there, I start freaking out. I go down to the third floor.
Oh, see, I go up one more.
You go up to the sixth floor.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The penthouse.
It's not bad up there.
Really?
Yeah. Stall's a little smaller, but...
Is it right in the same line with the other bathrooms?
Yeah, just go straight up.
I have not seen it.
There's nobody up there.
Nobody up there.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Smaller stall, but it's definitely...
I don't mind smaller stall.
It's better an option. Views. I know. It's me too, Steve. It's comforting, actually.
Well, it's protection.
Nice and tight. Yes, it is. All right, one last call, and this one's odd. I'm going to go to Anthony. Hi, Anthony. Good morning.
Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, buddy. So what's your story, please?
Every time I go to a funeral, as soon as I walk through that door, I'm looking for the bathroom.
No kidding.
Is it the smell of formaldehyde and embalming fluid?
Or nerves?
I think it's just the knowing that there's death in the room.
It's a turn on.
It hits me hard for some reason.
Okay.
And if it doesn't smell like that, it's going to by the time I'm done.
So, listen, I'll tell you this. Oof. I've been in a few funeral parlor bathrooms, and they're exquisite.
Yes.
They're kept very clean.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they are. Yeah. Anthony would know.
Yes.
He's seen them all.
I've shined them all.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate it. I can see that. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know we headed down the puke path, but we ended up going down to poop.
They're similar roads. They run parallel.
Yeah. This reliever for the Brewers over the weekend, pitching against the Phils, his name Adrian Hauser. They just called him up, and on the pitching mound, he puked twice, two times. I got to believe it was nerves.
Yes,
this is his first time in the show, and he had that going on. But interesting, I had no idea about the hardware stores
in a hardware store
being bowel movers, but
or
apparently,
bookstores.
Apparently, it is. It's a thing. So thank you for once again. You learn stuff.
You do
on the Preston and Steve Show. Appreciate that. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back in a second. I have loads of outrageous, bizarre file stories. The weekend was good to me.
Good,
as
nice.
Far as those stories go, and I will share them with you when we get back. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Judy Kim in The Assassination. Celebrating our area's best talent.
bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Judah Kim and the Assassination, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
I got a lot of bizarre file stories, so I just want to get right into this. Here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Dunkin' Donuts. Let's see. This summer, Dunkin' has got ice cream-inspired iced coffee in the flavors you love. Pistachio, cookie dough, butter pecan, and you can stop by Dunkin' today. What's your flavor? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Sometimes you get weeks that are a little bit light in the Bizarre File story news, and then other times you get ones that are heavy. Last week was a light week. I had to struggle to find any good stories.
Not so this week, huh?
I have a bounty. I have pretty much the entire week ready to go today.
But we had a lot of Bizarre File fans out at the blood drive, so listen up.
Let's dive into this. A 23-foot python has swallowed a woman.
Yes.
In central Indonesia.
How's she doing?
She's dead.
Oh.
No.
Wow. I should not have been saying yes then leading up to that.
The victim, 54-year-old Wa Tiba, went missing while checking her vegetable garden near her village on Thursday evening. On Friday, her family went to look for her at the garden, but found only her belongings, including sandals and a flashlight.
Oh, could you imagine? What a horrifying way to go.
The family and villagers launched a search for the woman and found the snake with a bloated belly about 50 yards from where her belongings were found. The villagers killed the snake, and they carried it to the village, and when they cut open the snake's body, they found Tiba's body still intact with all her clothes.
It was dark in there.
She was swallowed first from her head.
Oh!
My God.
So I'm assuming...
But you know, maybe that's better, though. If your head gets... If it gets crushed, I know this sounds disgusting, but you're not... Imagine going from the feet up and knowing you're being eaten alive.
No. I'm sure that it strangled her to death first. And then...
Don't they strangle and while they're eating at the same... I don't know.
Maybe they do, but
I got to watch some more documentaries.
They're constrictors, so I would imagine it probably killed her first and then swallowed her. But videos posted on some websites showed villagers slicing open the python's carcass to reveal the woman's body. I didn't watch the videos.
We're watching it right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone in the village turned out to watch as well.
Ferris said that the victim's garden, Ferris is the village chief, said that the victim's garden about a half mile from her house is in a rocky area where with caves and cliffs believed to contain many snakes. Reticulated pythons, which are widespread in Indonesia and other parts of South Asia, grab onto their prey with dozens of sharp curved teeth. They squeeze it to death and then they swallow it whole. Reports of human beings killed by pythons are extremely rare. In the wild, they are known to eat monkeys, pigs, and other mammals. But it is the second python attack on a human in Indonesia since March of last year when a 25-year-old man was swallowed whole by a python in West Sulawesi Province.
I'm sorry, did you say monkeys?
Yeah, they did say monkeys. So be careful.
Well, they just blurred out the body now as they did the final incision on this thing. We're watching footage of them cut open the snake.
Yeah.
Maybe that's better that we didn't see that.
The parents of a 5-year-old boy have been hit with a $132,000 bill after their son knocked over a sculpture. Video footage of the incident last month shows a child appearing to reach out to the sculpture at the Tomahawk Ridge Community Center in Overland Park, Kansas. The boy, who was attending a wedding reception at the community center, appeared to attempt to prop up the art to stop it from falling before it wobbled and hit the floor. Days later, the insurance company representing the city sent the family a $132,000 claim. They said the piece, entitled Aphrodite D, Kansas City, was damaged beyond repair. The insurance letter stated, "You're responsible for the supervision of a minor child. Your failure to monitor could be considered negligent." Sarah Goodman, the child's mother, told ABC News that she was offended that she was called negligent and said the exhibition was treated like a crime scene after her son knocked over the sculpture. Artist Bill Lyons, who created the piece, told ABC News it was 2 years in the making and was on sale for $132,000. He said it was beyond his capabilities and desires to mend it.
We're looking at the... I mean, yes, the kid should not have been running around, but maybe they could have secured it a little better on
the
podium.
The boy's parents argue the sculpture should have been better protected if it carried such a high price tag. They said it's in the main walkway. It's not a separate room. No plexiglass, not protected, not held down. There wasn't even a sign or a border around it or anything that says do not touch. Goodman says the incident has her son having bad dreams every night. The city did not respond to a request for comment. The family are now trying to work out how to foot the bill and may need to dip into their homeowner's insurance in order to do it. So, yeah, it's pretty messed up. Two people said they wanted a clinic nurse practitioner to see what pain felt like. According to police, they locked the practitioner in an office.
And with a python?
Threatened her with a hatchet and a meat tenderizer.
Oh, Jesus.
Police also found a loaded revolver in their bag. Jillian and Joseph Buza could face nearly 3 decades in prison if combined. During an appointment with her nurse practitioner, 39-year-old Jillian Buza looked over to her ex-husband and said, "Are you ready?" Huh. And that's when 70-year-old Joseph Buza cornered the practitioner with his wheelchair and held a hatchet and meat tenderizer to her face while Jillian duct taped the door shut. The pair the police believe the pair went to the Marshfield Clinic Tuesday with the intention of crushing Jillian's nurse practitioner's feet and hands. Joseph told police that she was making their lives a living hell. The pair was upset with the practitioner for trying to wean Jillian off of opioids.
How dare she?
Three employees forced the door open and helped the practitioner restrain the Buzas to take away their weapons until police arrived. But before police got there, Jillian told Joseph, "I told you we should have just killed ourselves." The pair is being charged with 2 felonies for false imprisonment and attempted aggravated battery.
They got some issues.
A Fontana man has been arrested after police said that he fatally shot his friend over an argument about who would get to sit in the front seat of the car.
Well,
police officers
literally fighting who'd be able to ride shotgun, right?
Yep. Police officers were called 10 p.m. Sunday. Officers found the victim identified as 19-year-old Jalen Wilson on the street suffering from a gunshot wound to the chest. Wilson was transported to an area hospital where he died. Investigators identified the suspect as Sergio Orozco. Police took him into custody. Authorities learned that Orozco and Wilson were close friends. The two were with a third friend leaving a nearby party. When the driver got into his seat, Orozco and Wilson got into an argument who would sit in the front passenger seat. And that's when Orozco pulled out a handgun and shot Wilson in the chest.
At least the death was not in vain.
Wow. All right. And then we'll do one last story. This one's too long. How about this one? I like this one a lot. A rabid bobcat recently attacked a grandmother in her yard, spurring a furious battle that ended with the cat's strangulation death.
She strangled the bobcat to death.
She, with her bare hands, she had to do it.
I'm going to check on my rutabagas and... Oh, not again! Not again, you son of a bitch! Die!
Dee Dee Phillips said, "I thought not today. There's no way I was going to die." She recalled the attack.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother effer.
Phillips has been around, has begun a round of rabies shots. She also has a broken finger and numerous bite and claw wounds to her hands, arms, chest, and legs. She said, "I'm very lucky." The unprovoked attack occurred about 6 p.m. She had been working on her truck that afternoon and posted a bumper sticker that read, "Women who behave rarely make history." She planned to photograph the sticker and send it to her husband. Well, she walked out of the house with her cell phone. She said, "My neighbor's dog was barking and it drew my attention."
Then take a little picture of the truck. Yes, yes, line it right up.
She said, "I saw the cat and I took a picture. The cat took 2 steps and then was on top of me. It came for my face."
That's what they do.
Phillips grew up in the country where her father-in-law was once a trapper of bobcats. As a result, she knew something about the animal's behavior. She said, "They go for your jugular because when they can get you in the vein, you're dead in a couple of minutes." This bobcat did go for her upper body. She said, "It caught me slightly on my face, but I got him before he could do much damage there. I took it straight to the ground and started inching my hands up to its throat, and I knew that was the only way that I was getting out of this," and she choked it to death.
Then she jumped up on the turnbuckle, Preston, and dove down on top of it.
And that is what I have for you in the bizarre file. Just a taste of what we have this morning.
Have there actually ever been fatalities because of a bobcat attack?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't think that they were big enough to kill a person. I mean, maybe a...
Kids.
Maybe a child. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But they got... Listen, they got the... They have... really sharp claws.
Yeah, sure.
And if they get it, just get you in the right spot,
man.
When kill you, man.
First moved out to Thousand Oaks, California years ago. We lived in Thousand Oaks for about 10 months, 11 months, I think it was. And when we first got out to the area, there was a kid who had been killed by a bobcat.
Wow. All right, and there you go. It's what I got in the beef hot. We're going to take a quick break, come back in just a moment or two. You know what? Let me give away some of those Jurassic World passes. We have that screening tomorrow night. It's at 7:30 at the UA King of Prussia, and we could get you into Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. We'll take three callers, 215-263-WMMR. You'll need to be at the UA King of Prussia by 7 o'clock in order to get into the theater and see the movie. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Ladies and gentlemen, 1 week from today.
Delta versus Busco.
Yes.
Who will win? Who will be defeated?
We get the Battle Royale started.
No one can know.
5 years later.
Only one will claim the victory.
Kathy and Casey are going to go at it once again. They have no idea what we have planned for them. It's the Battle of the Counties in this face-off that is, I didn't know we'd ever come back to this, but it's still as fierce as it's ever been.
May I tell you something?
Yes.
At the blood drive, it was clear that this has been bubbling not only with these two, Kathy and Casey. The listeners are very passionate.
And also, Nick was a little shady with one of the listeners that came out to donate blood. Well, and I asked him, I was like, what is that? And he was like, mind your own business.
It's a cool thing. And it's
don't worry about it.
Yeah, one of several
I'm not worried about it. I'm just saying, I thought it was funny that now the listeners are involved in
it. No, it's just we got a whole bunch of great plans next week. And that was one of them.
Oh, shut up, woman.
So, we had a lot of people come up and one would go over to Case and go, You know, Delco, you have to win this year.
Oh, my God.
And so on and so forth. Don't let us down and stuff like that. Which, by the way, and I have to point this out, Kyle, who did that jingle for us, had originally done it with Delco versus Buxco, but we changed the name of it because Kathy is victorious, and so it should be Buxco versus Delco.
Winner's right.
So he redid the song. The first one I played went like this. And that's just not right. So he went back in and he did this for us to fix it.
Buxco versus Delco.
You know, so
who will win? Who will
Buxco has to get the naming rights there ahead of time. And so he redid it. In fact, it was such a pain in the ass for him that he did this as well.
Buxco versus Delco.
And redid it. So we thank Kyle for that.
But, he does a great job, man.
He does.
Production's so good.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
I think Kathy is stressing about this. She has had some things to say to me about this. She's like, we got to work together on this.
She's getting in your head again, isn't she?
I'm not stressing one bit. No, what I said was because you requested something, Preston. And so, because we have to bring somebody in with us.
Yeah.
So I was wondering a little more about what it is, because that would depend on who I bring in. Do you know what I mean? Based on where they're from in Bucks County.
Okay. I just told you, you're going to need to bring in a friend who's going to have to help you one of these days. And they just need to be somebody who knows the county and is friends with you and you have a good relationship with them. We're just going to leave it at that.
All right.
And it's up to you to, I can't give you any more specifics.
No, we cannot, because again, you're right. We'd be. Yeah. Anything that would give you an indication is going to it might actually even hurt you during the competition. Right.
But are you going to tell us that day if it's going to be trivia or if it's
that morning? Know. We'll tell you what it is.
Right.
And it's not like I said, nobody's going to be embarrassed. It's not going to nobody's going to.
I'm
hurt.
Not worried about that.
Anything like that.
I'm just.
You just want to win.
No. Yeah. But I'm thinking it, maybe do I bring somebody in from a part of Bucks County that I'm not as familiar with, but they are,
No, it's been actually very curated and vetted, and you know. There's been a lot more control on the areas that you're supposed to be familiar with, we can indicate this, Preston, that both of you will be asked to defecate in a hardware store.
Okay. No problem.
I got
been loads. Practicing so my that, whole
yeah,
life.
Yeah.
In a neutral county.
In a neutral county.
Yeah. 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 All right. No, I do have a question about that. Like, do we bring in a person? Is it more
don't
a person?
Worry. We're not going to give you any answers. Not right
no,
now.
No, I'm with you. I think
I haven't even asked this stinking question. Is it somebody that is... do I want to lean more towards somebody who knows me better or somebody that knows the county better, it doesn't matter?
I've given you the parameters. You interpret them how you like. And
that's
all
what I'm saying. Case listen, we need to team up and we say, well, we're not going to come if you don't give us more info.
And yeah. Shut up.
Ooh. Are you saying you know what happens, about? Preston? Montgomery County becomes the winner.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just want to give people a heads up that Bucksco versus Delco will not only be about your knowledge and your awareness of your respective counties, but just also what type of a competitor you are. So some of these things may not just be
no.
Delaware County oriented or Bucks County oriented. It's Casey against Kathy as well,
oh.
representing your county. You know, so keep that in mind. And I want the listeners to know as well, if for some reason that had nothing to do with Delaware County, don't worry about it. It's just Casey against Kathy.
Yes.
And they're representing their counties.
And we've eliminated swimsuit. Yeah. And we're letting you pick God. Your own evening gown.
Yep, okay. That's right. So no longer will this be based on looks alone.
No.
Yeah.
It's a scholarship.
All right, so next week, Bucksco versus Delco returns after 5 years of being away. So that will be Monday through Friday. We got something every single day. And we're still working on it. It's not all hashed out. So we're still...
And all lollipops and unicorns.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Speaking of the blood drive, which you did mention, Steve, thank you to everybody for coming out on Saturday at the Valley Forge Casino Event Center. And thank you to the Red Cross for the amazing job that they did in putting that whole thing. I had, there was a gal named Alicia who drew my blood. She's been at every single one that we've done. Every single one of them.
I had a guy named Ray that has been at all of them as well. That's so cool.
And you know what she was telling me? She said for the Red Cross... It's actually kind of a bit of a reunion for them because most of those groups, they get sent out on assignment.
Yes.
And they'll see a couple people here. They'll see a few people there. And they have teams. And there are people that they don't see for a year, for months. And when they come out to our event, everybody's there. And they all get to see each other. So
you're
it's
right.
Kind
they call
of a fun
from,
event.
They call from everywhere, President. Yeah. So it is cool to see them and to see them get excited. When I left, I had no idea. I was being told by people about travel times to get out there. Apparently, there were a number of bad traffic situations, and we got in very early, so I was unaware of it. In fact, I made excellent time.
There was a guy, I forgot where he was from in Jersey. He showed up towards the end, and he was going to take the turnpike. It was either the turnpike or the Schuylkill were his options. He took the Schuylkill, and it took him 2.5 hours
oh my God.
To get there.
But that's commit. I mean, most people would have said, F this, and turned around, but... He came out with his, I think it was his wife.
Listen, we did have a lot of people not show up for one reason or another. We were talking to Elena about that. And did I get her name right? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Yeah. I know it was either Alana or Elena. And had said that there were a lot of people didn't make it out. So we had all kinds of traffic problems. And, of course, it was probably the most beautiful day of the year so far.
Our first stellar Saturday.
Stunning.
Understood.
So those of you who did come out, and we'll get the numbers soon, thank you, thank you, thank you for being a part of it.
Yeah, we've had a bunch of different locations over the years, and I have to admit that when we were going to move to the casino, I didn't know if that was going to make sense or not. And it's, in my opinion, the best one that we've had. It's perfectly sized, the air conditioning. There were a couple of people I was talking
key.
To. Well, there were people who were saying that they were kind of like chilly as they were leaving, but we were like, listen, it's better than the alternative.
we've been in the alternative.
We've seen it, but the pacing of everybody getting through is really good, and there's enough physical space for everybody there that the Valley Forge Casino Resort really is the perfect location for this.
Yep. So we had a great time, and thank you to everybody who took their time out and came and had us suck your blood for a damn good cause.
It was, but that said, they have it down to a science. You know, the, in years past, have been plagued by sort of Ethernet issues and other stuff like that. But it was, I mean, it was really pretty smooth in the way they were processing through everybody. And if you went over by where the MMR tent was, President, where they were handing out the T-shirts and everything at full blood drive, you know, whatever. There are all sorts of things going on with the kids' activities and picture booths and it's just a whole
guy
bunch
with
of stuff.
Glowing thumbs.
Yes, Casey had his novelty glowing thumbs, which are a little treat. You're actually entertaining kids with these little
I was having fun with them.
Yeah. Steve. He was entertaining himself.
Because kids were just like, yeah, big whoop.
No, they weren't.
No, they loved it.
Some of them got a kick out of it, but
it was a good time.
Casey had his little magic trick with him.
Had the whole routine. And then I started suggesting that you make it pretend that you're pulling the light out of your butt. And that's when it actually took off.
Actually, so. You know what? That one is it's a hit with the kids, right? You pretend like you eat the light and then you fart it out.
Well, you're going to have to demonstrate, do a little video so people can see what we're talking about. Did you bring him with you? I'm sure you did, right?
No, I don't think I did.
What?
I know. Did I? Are they in my pocket? Nope. No, I
didn't. All right. Well, at some point,
you didn't bring your magic thumbs.
Actually, they might be in my car.
Okay. There we go. Of course, where they should be with your kit.
But it was a great time, and we thank you guys for participating in that event. And let's do it again next year.
I mean, as you said, on a Saturday to take time to come out and be a part of it. Wonderful and great to see people who were kids and couldn't donate who have now become of age and donated. It was great.
Oh, and also the gal who there's a gal who comes out. She's been out the past few years. Had open heart surgery.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes,
and she was like, she's like, let me tell you how important this is because it saved her life having blood available, you know, at the ready when she needed it because she had a life or death situation.
Yeah, there was another family that had come through, and one of the family members had surgery, and it was an emergency of some sort, and had to go through 19 pints of blood.
Wow.
You know, so because they had been through that, they all kind of come out en masse and make sure they give back because they know firsthand how important it is.
Yep. So thank you, guys. We appreciate it. And on Saturday, we were there, obviously, but the U.S. Open was going on over the weekend. And I'm not sure what day this happened, Steve, but I missed this completely. There's a piece of audio that was live on Fox Sports. So they're covering the U.S. Open. And I think I forgot who they were trailing, who was about to make an approach shot onto the green.
I think I jotted it down here. Let me see.
Was it Mickelson?
No, it wasn't Mickelson. Mickelson, by the way.
The meltdown?
Did you see what he did?
Yeah, I've never seen that on a PGA Tour. And for somebody like Phil Mickelson, who's so calm
and collected. He gained the system, man.
It cost him two strokes. I don't think he gamed anything.
No. He had said, he's like, had he let the ball go.
What happened?
What happened, Steve, is he missed a putt. And as the ball was still trickling down and presumably off the green, he hit the ball towards the hole
before it stopped,
and he went running after.
So he ran after the ball,
which you're not allowed to do,
and he hit it before it stopped moving. I've never seen anybody do that ever.
How's that gaming the system?
That invoked a 2-stroke penalty. Well, I think Casey's saying that had he let the ball roll off the green, he's thinking it would have taken more than 2 strokes for him to get up there and down anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. I mean, he's one of the best short game players in the world. He could have put it in the hole. Who the hell knows? But that's how difficult Shinnecock was and how they had it set up and the greens and the speed. But that was pretty bizarre.
So I told you that I was reading an article about just because it jumped out at me. It was calling it like a disaster, you know, about how they again, I'm fascinated with the culture. I don't play. But they were saying that this was just a horrific state of affairs, from ultra windy conditions to super fast course, you know.
Yeah, and it's why I didn't watch
these
it.
Seasoned pros were having nightmarish rounds.
We're watching the video of Mickelson. Watch this, Steve. He starts trotting. He runs over there. The ball's still rolling, and he hits it before it even stops. That's a big-time no-no. Whoa. Marissa?
Well, so he addressed this in the post... it's not post-game. What was it? Post-round conference. And he said, I would have been chasing it back and forth multiple times. So just as you were saying, he said it was easier just to take the 2 strokes. And it was BS. So
he did it on purpose. Yeah. That's interesting. That's kind of out of line with the decorum of the game. But anyway... so anyhow, on to this other. I forgot who was being
Fox Sports was covering it.
The guy who won the freaking
Patrick Reed,
the Masters. Green, yeah.
Reed.
I'm sorry. So anyhow, they're covering it, and obviously they have the mics on these guys, and they have these mics that are very directional, and you can hear the caddy talking to the player, and the player talking to the caddy.
Right.
Apparently, they picked up a little bit more than they anticipated. Someone who was nearby the microphone.
Yeah, a couple people standing because they're sort of surrounding them, and they have these, as you said, Preston, these very powerful microphones, and these guys are just watching, obviously, the play, and they're having a conversation.
Now I'll play it,
And then you can decipher it.
It might be kind of hard to hear exactly what they're saying. This is bleeped, right? I hope so.
It is.
But we'll give you the lead into it. So here we go.
6-3-1. Yeah, I would. I know you're dipping a good cause.
That's my ex.
Yeah, she's hot.
287. That's when we were f***ing so hard and I had cut her in the head.
Sure.
And the eye, 4444, smacked the f***ing down.
Yeah, what actually happened here? She fell?
No, straight up, like, we went and kind of did in the mother's position. Yeah,
okay, so what he says after the bleep, he goes, "We were effing so hard, I headbutted her in the head."
So this is Reed saying this?
No. One of the spectators that are nearby the mic. Oh,
I couldn't understand.
And so, here, listen.
In a good call.
That's my ex.
You hear him go, he goes, "That's my ex."
Yeah.
And he goes, "Yeah, she's hot."
Yeah, she's hot.
Yeah, she's hot. All right, and then?
287. That's when we were f***ing so hard and I headbutted her in the head.
We were effing so hard that I headbutted her in the head. Let me play that back again.
That's when we were f***ing so hard and I headbutted her in the head.
All right.
And the eye, 4444, smack the f***ing down.
Yeah, what actually happened here? She fell.
And then he goes,
No, straight up, like, we went and kind of did in the Muppets position.
He said we were going straight up and kind of in the Muppets position.
Yeah.
I think.
I thought he said the Mummers position.
Or Mummers position.
Maybe.
What actually happened here? She fell.
No, straight up, like, we went and kind of did in the Muppets position.
Muppets position is where you have your hand up someone's ass.
I heard Mothers.
Mother's position.
No, straight up, like, we went and kind of did in the Muppets position.
Wow.
Can I slow it down and maybe we'll figure it out what it was?
Sure, go ahead.
All right.
No, straight up, like, we went and kind of did in the Muppets position.
Nah, that doesn't help. Tell.
Mm-mm. We were in the Muppets position like the Mummers too.
But how about this guy saying that, I had...
287. That's when we were f***ing so hard and I had cut her in the head.
Oops. So, but it's clear, actually, if you hear it, because you're getting the processing, but it was fairly clear, as loud as the commentators were, and then you hear someone dial down that microphone ever so slightly, and then they later apologize for it, but...
Whoopsie.
Yeah.
I missed that live. I didn't catch that one live.
That's
so
hilarious.
Wow. Nice. Another piece of audio we have. Tom Hanks. Steve, what's the story on this clip?
So there, he's doing Henry IV in Los Angeles. Tom Hanks. He's playing Falstaff, I believe. So he is someone in the audience has a medical emergency. They have to take them away. Okay. So, but people start to, so they take an intermission, people start to get up and leave. So him as the character, and I'm not that well-versed, comes out on stage and starts ad-libbing, telling the people who are leaving to come back to their seats in Shakespearean fashion.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I want to hear this. That's him yelling, "Get back here."
Yes, yeah, get back here.
Oh, my God, that's great.
And thus it is. But the scurvy rogues that stood up from their seats, tore apart their tickets, is an insult to all artists and all actors and Shakespeare himself.
Nice. I love it. He's awesome, man. Step out there in front of a crowd and level them like that.
This is cool, though, because this is a smaller theater, and the audience is kind of right up on it.
Yep.
And then watching Tom Hanks, and 15, 20 feet away.
Is this outside?
This is inside.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Cool. By the way, people are texting in. No, wait, it looks like it's outside.
Is it?
Yep. Yeah. We're looking at a picture of it in the daytime. Somebody texted in and said it's not the Muppets position, it's the Lover's position that the guy was saying.
Play it again.
All right, we're going to back
Let's go down here. Let's rewind it. Let's try it.
We were f***ing so hard and I had cut her in the head.
Sure.
And the eye, 4444, smack the f***ing down.
Yeah, what actually happened here? She fell.
No, straight up, like, we went and kind of did in the Muppets position.
I hear an M.
The Muppets position.
Yeah.
Like Bert and Ernie. Bert and Bernie.
No, Bernie and Ert.
It's Bernie and Ert. That's straight. All right, interesting.
Wow.
What else I want to mention to you guys.
There's so many things.
Case, you were at the beach this weekend.
I was.
Did you see any jellyfish?
I did not go into the ocean at all. In
oh, really?
Fact,
that's half the attraction.
I used to. I mean, that was my bathroom for the longest time, and now they have porta pots in the back of the beach.
Kind of ruins the thrill, doesn't it?
Well, and apparently it's other people's bathroom too. Yeah. Like all those beaches were closed.
Yeah. So, I did not go in the ocean. My kids were in there though.
I don't know how it is on the Jersey Shore, but apparently jellyfish numbers are way up. And in fact, it's called a jellyfish bloom.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I thought I just read something about a whole bunch of people getting stung by jellyfish.
That usually doesn't happen until later in the summer.
Okay, that the jellyfish bloom.
Yeah, like August.
Norman, okay. The jellyfish are blooming. Talking about some goddamn jellyfish. It's a pond.
I would say this: when it's windy, when you've had windy conditions, the jellyfish will blow in towards the beaches. And that's when the loons start.
That's when the loons begin.
And stuck my hand in a goddamn jellyfish.
I had no idea.
Pond's never been this. No, man, what the hell is that?
Thought it was a flounder, but it's a jellyfish.
You can hear them. Yeah. They're blooming as we speak.
Listen to the Portuguese man of war chirping.
Oh, man, I tell you what, when you'd see the dark purple jellyfish. So growing up on Long Island, we would go to, you know, the Jones Beach and all those. But on the Sound, the Long Island Sound, you'd see a lot of jellyfish. They just come in and man, it would, you know. You know what? I don't want to go anywhere near the water. You see one, you see two of them, because they can be just below the level. It's sort of murky water.
Yeah.
No. Hey, no,
we were in Sweden. We stayed in this town that my wife's family had a home right there on the water, and their jellyfish were orange. For a lot of them, they're orange, and everybody's just swimming away, just jumping in the water, swimming. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going anywhere near those things.
Mm-mm. I think I told you this story. There was a friend of mine who was water skiing, and he fell off his skis and still held on to the bar for a little bit, the tow bar.
Oh.
30 seconds, but he's being pulled forward, and a purple jellyfish slapped right on his face.
Oh, my God.
And it was horrifying.
Do they prefer a temperature of water? Do they like it warmer or hotter? Warmer or colder?
They like it warmer or hotter. Okay. No, they do like it warmer, is my understanding, Case, though I could be wrong. It may depend on the type of jellyfish.
No, you're right, because when I was in Maine, there were a ton of jellyfish in the water, and that water was freezing. It was in the 50s.
Yeah.
Somebody's texting saying, I was hearing stingrays close to the shore in Cape May / Wildwood this weekend.
Ooh.
Another one says, I realized over the weekend down the shore that thong bikinis are back in fashion.
Are they?
And then it says, makes me want to poop.
Yeah, it's not even bikinis. It's just like any swimsuit, one piece, monokini, bikini, whatever.
Really?
It's just, it's full on.
Yeah, we
ass.
Talked about
have you
it.
Seen, really? Have you seen the one? Because I mentioned our calendar girl, Cassie, had.
It's floss.
It's basically an eye patch over
the. An eye patch over the hoo hoo. And do you see? Well, are those?
That's a micro bikini.
That's is a that little down at the beach?
That's a little extreme. But the mainstream. Bathing suits in all of the stores. I mean, you walk into Target, pick up a bathing suit, whether it's for a teen, you know, the juniors or women's, it's a very small behind.
Okay.
When we talked about it, I said, I can't buy any bathing suits this year. I literally, like, my ass will eat the bathing suit. I can't buy them. I just can't. Bring myself to wear that tiny, on a beach with kids. Like, no, I'm not doing that. But it's all over the place.
Wow. Okay. And did you see a bunch down this weekend, Case?
I didn't see any thongs, and you're right. I mean, the back cut of the bathing suits, you know, are
it's almost full ass cheek, is it not?
Yeah, but it's not quite. I mean, from what I saw, I didn't see any thongs. It's not quite thong. It's just a smaller back.
Smaller back, right?
Yeah. Butthole. Now, Kathy would never wear one. Marissa, would you wear? Do you wear that style that really tiny back?
So I actually found this in Europe a few years ago, and because Kathy has a fuller, nicer behind,
thanks.
Your butt looks better in the bigger ones, but my ass is a little tinier, so the smaller ones look better on me because the other ones make my butt look big.
that look like a diaper.
Look like a diaper.
That's
yeah,
what we call them. We're like, yes, we don't want the diaper bathing suits.
Yeah, you have to do the like pull behind and like try to fix it. And if it's wet, then you're just out of luck. So
really?
This is good for me.
Okay. Don't you guys wear the full outfits with the parasol and the whole thing and the bonnet when you go into the water? 1920s style?
Nice. Well, watch out for the jellyfish.
Yeah.
Because apparently they're up this year and they're continuing to bloom, if you will. So just a heads up. Casey, do you want to tell your story this weekend on watercraft?
Sure. I mean, it's not really that great of a story, but I rented a Wave Runner.
Well, the way you told it to me, it was initially you're like, yeah, I hit a buoy this weekend. I mean, that's a pretty good story.
That's a pretty good story. First of all, where did I go? It's a Lakeside Docks. Oh, crap. I forget what it was called, but it's on Sunset Lake and Wildwood Crest. And
the loons are out.
And the loons are right there. There we go. So I talked my wife and she allowed me to take the kids out on Wave Runners.
Please, can I please?
Well, I mean, she's a little bit nervous, you know, and when you hear stories that, like a couple of years ago, like I think it was like Usher's kid or somebody, nephew was killed on one or whatever. She allowed me to take the kids out. I rented a Wave Runner at this place for a half hour. You know, I did 10 minutes with each kid.
Yeah.
I got more Lakeview Docks. That's what it's called. Lakeview Docks in Wildwood Crest, and actually the owners are listeners of the show.
Oh, so awesome!
I found that out yesterday. Wave Runners don't respond the same way, let's say, a motorcycle or cars do with their steering wheels, and you need to sort of finesse it a little bit. And the way you have to ride on the Wave Runners, they have like four buoys set up, and you ride around counterclockwise in essentially a circle.
Right,
and I got more and more comfortable as, the half hour went on. So it was like the last 5 minutes of my ride, and I had my oldest daughter on the back of the Wave Runner. And at this, the first 10 minutes, I think the fastest I went was like 25, 26 miles per hour.
So on the water, that's moving.
That's a good clip.
Yeah. It feels like you're going 40, right?
Yeah.
So when the last couple of laps, I was doing like 35 miles per hour. I was going at a nice clip. And what you're supposed to do is the instructions are to ride as close to the buoy as possible, not to cut corners because you don't know who's behind you. And if you cut a corner, you could end up like turning right into somebody. Mm-hmm. So I'm coming up at this yellow buoy and it's becoming more and more apparent that I'm not cutting the wheel as much as I need to. And Casey's in the back. She's like, Dad, you're going to hit the buoy. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to hit the buoy. And I don't know what the buoy is made of. I have no idea. To me, it looks like it's a big barrel, right?
Right, right.
Like, so it's like made out of a hard float,
heavy
plastic or rubber that floats in the water. And I'm like, holy crap, I'm going to hit this thing. My wife, who was like so worried about me taking my kids.
Just make sure the children are safe. Just make sure the children are safe. Just make sure the children are safe.
And Steve.
I will never forgive you.
Steve, I didn't clip this thing. I didn't, kind of rub against it. I barreled straight into it. I mean, like right in the middle of it. And
couldn't you just throttle back quickly?
No, that wouldn't have done it. I'm still going straight. Going straight.
And they're not cushiony.
Well, thank God.
This one was.
Thank
it was?
God.
Yeah.
It was just like an inflatable thing.
An inflatable buoy.
Okay, all right. Okay.
And, but,
but you didn't know that.
I didn't know that until I made contact with it. I mean, at like 25 miles. I was able to slow down from 35 to 25, but I crashed into it. And then I was embarrassed. I mean, everybody was fine.
You can no longer play with the thermostat.
So I make the turn. I'm like, did anybody see that? I'm like, I know my wife saw that. I know. I know. Like, I know she brought her lawn chair and her book, but I know
she's watching.
She saw that, and she did. She totally saw it.
Oh, no.
So when you got back, what did she do?
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing, no, because everybody was fine, and nobody got hurt or anything like that, but I'm sure.
Can I see you over here for a second?
But also your depth perception. So she's on the dock watching.
Yeah.
And so
she couldn't tell the life and death situation.
She had no idea how, because I was cutting it close like every time. So she probably didn't know that I was headed right for it until she actually saw it, you know, careen off of my Wave Runner.
Dude, Case, we got to get you on one of those water jet packs.
Oh my God, I would love that.
We've got to get you on that. So I know they do.
Where's the closest one?
They've got them down there somewhere.
Yep, they do.
We talked about it last year or the year before, and people said that they are available in certain spots. Very, very expensive to rent. But
are they?
I think so, okay. Yeah. That's what I've heard. I don't know if that's the case
Maybe
or not.
Maybe we get a knockoff one.
A knockoff jet pack? But I personally would love to go on one of those things, but I'm dying to see you on one.
You see the dudes who are able to flip down and go underwater and dive it down and come back up?
Since they've had those out now for several years, there's people that have mastered them, and they can do all kinds of spinny, wild, crazy things in the air and then dive down in and back up.
The best is to look at a YouTube search on reporters.
Oh, my God.
When they first came out, we're trying to demo those for features for different reports.
Yep.
The fails are extraordinary.
They are. They're fantastic.
I'm afraid that I would jetpack myself right down into the water and not be able to right myself, and then just
go down to the bottom and stay there.
Yes, just continue to thrust myself.
We're watching video footage. They now have them where you can strap them on your feet.
Jeez. Yeah. It's basically just a board.
That's crazy. That's absolutely insane. I wouldn't do that one. I would not do that one.
Killed on these?
Casey, who would be more?
Just screaming down
the ocean floor.
Where's Daddy? Anybody see Daddy?
Who'd be worse at it, Casey, you or me?
I think you.
I think me too.
Yeah. All right, so who's I'll tell you what, I believe you would probably have to. Nick, how are you on the hoverboard?
Not good.
Okay. Then I think the same sort of core skill set.
Yeah,
that would make someone good on the hoverboard.
Which
might
Casey
make them
is very
good
at.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All yeah, right. That's not a bad idea.
I have decent body control in the air from my years as a diver.
You're just seeing bubbles.
But I had because I'll go off the diving board in the summer at the pool and stuff like that. And in my old age, like when I flip now, I can't do any more than 1.5 flips because
it's still good, man. It's
my, what people man. Can't my, do. My he, head.
He came over to our house and you know, we have a pool, and he did a gainer, which I can't do off of the diving board. I'm like, dude,
that was
freaking awesome.
I think you knock yourself down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's my standard. My gainer is okay.
That's a go-to.
Your Gloria gainer.
I know this is a stupid question, but what's the difference between a wave runner and a jet ski?
Well, jet ski, you ride on your knees.
And you stand on it.
You
start on your knees, and then you eventually stand up. And then a wave runner, you just sit the whole time.
You got the seat.
So is one harder than the other?
Jet skis are harder.
Yeah, okay. I've never done a jet ski.
Because you have to have a lot more balance. On a wave runner, you just sit you drive.
It's like a motorcycle.
Almost like a quad, actually.
Yeah, like a quad.
It's very, very stable. But a jet ski, it takes a while to figure it out.
The jet skis are the dudes you'll see riding the surf, and they'll launch up.
A friend of mine, this kid, Rhett, he was a professional jet ski, you know, racer, whatever you want to call it, athlete, I don't know what the right word is, but he could do crazy stuff, man. I mean, submarine dive and come back up out of the water and do flips and all kinds of crazy things.
With the wave runners, I think the guys who do the toe skiing, you know, surfing.
Toe-in surfing?
Yeah. Those guys who are riding the waves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is some wild stuff. We're
talking about gigantic waves. Yeah. So,
I would love to have own a wave runner.
What do they go for?
I don't know. Between
they're always surprised on the Price is Right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like between $5,000 and $10,000 or something like that. But like, so my buddy had one for a little while.
A little bit more, you think?
I think they're more $12,000-$15,000. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't buy it brand new.
Okay,
you'd buy it from some shady sort of guy who sold it out of the back of a van.
You get it seized from a drug dealer or something.
Yeah,
like that. One of those.
Right.
Ones.
Yeah, go to those police auctions where all those wave runners are.
Yeah, no, my
with
buddy
the bullet
had
holes in them.
My buddy had a wave runner, and the thing that sucked was that he only had one, and you know, like you want a wave runner buddy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so, you want to have somebody to ride with.
Well, I am going back out. It was a lot of fun, and
Cool. I'll probably go back out 4th of July weekend or something.
Yeah, just don't hit the buoy. You'll be good to go next time. You'll be a little more seasoned. Yeah, we're looking at anywhere between...
What did I say?
Yeah, you're right. 5 to 12,000. Yeah, okay.
I want a two-seater.
You have rec light, recreational, tow sports, and luxury.
Ooh, luxury has a bathroom.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and come back in a moment or two. We got some more good stuff coming up this morning. Don't forget, friends, like I said earlier, it is the last week that we have voting for Philly's Hottest. Daisy Deuce and Cowboy Boots, you have until Thursday to do it. WMMR.com, please place your vote. We'll be back in a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hey, I got totals from the blood drive. Hey!
What the hell?
Simon.
We didn't think we were going to have him this soon.
Promotions director of WMMR came in and handed me the numbers. You want me to reveal? Can we get a little drum rollage, please?
Okay, we were wondering because, you know, as we said before, it was there were traffic situations, so on and so forth, blah, 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 blah.
There were a lot of no-shows.
That
we were told, and which, you know, hey, listen, sometimes it happens, and I wasn't expecting... that big of a number, but I am pleasantly surprised. So thanks to you, listeners of the Preston and Steve Show. Pints or units raised for this year's I Believe for Preston and Steve Blood Drive, 1,128, man!
That's solid!
That's fantastic.
That's great.
To be honest, the way we were told, I thought it was going to be less than 1,000.
Honestly, and I never told you this, but I was thinking 40, 45.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 40, so 45 I was way tops. Low. Yeah.
No, we had 1,400 people signed up. And obviously, there are people that can't donate because of low iron or prescription medications, or maybe they were feeling sick that day or they've traveled somewhere. So you get cancellations in that regard. And then you have some people who have, a family event come up or they hit traffic or things like that. So I am pleasantly happy with 1,128 units, and 147 of those were Power Red donations, which takes a little longer.
Sure does.
And we appreciate people who, because not everybody goes there with the intent of giving Power Red. If they have a blood type that's a little bit more on the rare side, or if they happen to be asked, sometimes they're given the option to do that, and a lot of people take them up on it and go for it.
That's excellent. There were a couple of people who, one guy forgot his license. Another guy forgot to bring his blood. And that was an issue.
Oops.
So little things like that.
So thanks to everybody who helped out. JD from Window Nation, they did this year's pint glass. Sharon from Painted Treasure Paint and Take Art Studio in Haddon Heights, they had the craft tables for the kids. Amy from Aim High Studio of Germantown Pike in Fairview Village, they had the games and activities for the kids. That's near Collegeville, by the way. Jim from Alex's Lemonade Stand, they raised over $800. Nick and the crew from Rita's Water Ice brought the ice for people to eat. Bill from Jersey Mike Subs, they brought out hoagies and cookies. Those were really good.
Well, they saved our life because we were famished.
Yes, and they had the sandwiches ready to go, and I was pleasantly surprised. They were really, really good. So thank you, guys. Christine from Bob Evans, she brought out cookies, too.
She did. She brought some cookies.
And also Valley Forge Casino Resort, Mary-Kate Dewey and their amazing staff, and the American Red Cross Penn Jersey Blood Services Region. So Guy... Alana, Bob, Felicia, John,
Bob,
and so many other staff members and volunteers. So that was wonderful, man. Thank you guys so much.
Very happy to hear that.
Yeah.
That is a competitive take.
Absolutely. Nice job.
That's, we still got it, as Donnie Most would say. Ralph Mouth.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
By the way, I like this group picture of us. Unfortunately, Marissa wasn't there yet, but it's a good picture.
Do you notice that? And I was looking at this picture. It's like I'm so stupid, I don't even know how to stand.
Not what?
Look
I think
at
it's
me.
A good
I look
picture.
Like Frankenstein.
good.
I'm like I've just evaded the you know what I'm saying, right?
Like,
right?
Frankenstein-ish.
I look like Frankenstein.
With your arms out in front. That old stereotypical Frankenstein walking with his arms stretched out in front of him.
I'm resting. I'm Frankenstein resting.
Somebody showed me a picture from last year, and I wore the exact same shirt 2 years in a row.
Oh, did? Yeah. Well, Marissa and I have this conversation about events and how we have to go back and, like, check what we wore just to make sure we don't wear the same outfit same event.
Preston just told me, he's like, just, it's your blood shirt. Your blood drive shirt.
Yeah. You know what? For the next couple of events, let's pick an event where we wear the exact same clothes over the years to get time lapse.
Okay. Well, okay. Did you guys see that there was two girls who showed up, and they brought pictures with them from last year's blood drive that they wanted you guys to autograph. And the one girl, she's like, oh, my God, I'm wearing the exact same thing this year. Nick, it wasn't just the shirt.
Okay.
It was also the pants and everything.
That's so funny.
I can't believe you guys wore shorts and short sleeves, man. I always make it a point to wear long pants and long sleeves at
that
event.
I brought a sweater.
You know what? It's cold.
And you know what? I wore sneakers.
It was nippy.
I wore sneakers, too. Like, I didn't want to wear sandals because my feet get freezing.
Yeah. I showed up, and I had pumps on, and I had a...
You looked good, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, a little slutty.
I did. I know. So I switched, though. I didn't want to look too slutty. Yeah.
So, all right. But anyhow, thank you guys for being there and being a part of it. Yes, Kathy.
So apparently some of the workers after the blood drive, like they were like, it was their first blood drive. And they were like, that was insane. That was crazy. They went out for a drink afterwards. Like,
nice.
They needed a drink.
Well, you have, as Preston said earlier, you know, you have virtually every phlebotomist within, a 10 state diameter coming to do this deal. And so...
But, and a couple of them worked like double shift. So I guess our drive, because it extends, so long, people come in and switch out. But some of them stayed for the full day.
And our boss came to donate, too. Joe Bell was there.
Joe was there.
Joe was early. I think he had like a 7:30 donation. So that was nice to see him as well.
Yeah, it was excellent, man. So you can find the pictures of the event if you missed out on it, or maybe you want to come next year and see what it's all about. On our Facebook page, I believe you can find that. And Marissa will be posting some of those on social media.
And if you want to see what I would look like as Frankenstein, check out the group shot.
Thank you to Brian from Chorus Photography for taking all the pictures. He comes out to our events and does a wonderful job with the photography. So those are the pictures that you will see. I want to go back to this Ariana Grande story that we talked about in entertainment news, Steve. Her and Pete Davidson. Apparently, it has returned that Pete was on a break with his ex-girlfriend, Cassie David.
Right, who's like a modeler.
When he got together with Ariana. So they had been together for 3 years, but they were on an indefinite amount. They were on a break for an indefinite amount of time. By the way, when you go on a break, you don't say, do you say, let's go on a break for a month?
No.
Or do you put a timeline on it?
Well, here's a question
or
now.
A week?
Preston, you know I'm a Cosmo girl.
Yeah, you are.
I read Cosmopolitan magazine all the time. It's my thing. And I get all my advice from Cosmo. But there are certain vague areas in this on a break thing. And we talked earlier about how it started with Friends and Ross and Rachel and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And he got together with this tattoo parlor girl. When you say you're going on a break, Preston, exactly to that point, you say, let's take a month. You say, let's take 2 months. Are you basically saying, let's just break up amicably?
Yeah.
Or are you saying, let's take a pause, think about things, and then reconvene? Or are you saying, let's take a pause, bang other people, then come back and see where we stand?
Right.
Because it seems to me there is a vague interpretation of the take a break concept.
And does the break usually, does it ever come back and become a success story?
I'm going to think statistically no.
Yeah. 215-26. Know if you've had that happen.
So that's what I think it is. I think it's take a break is like, well, we don't really want to be together and we are eventually going to break up, but let's call it take a break in case one of the parties is not, too into it as the other. But eventually, that's what it is. I mean, do they actually get back together? I would imagine
sometimes.
The majority of the time is no.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes they do.
Yeah.
I don't know from personal experience, but I do know people that are married now that...
that did do the break?
Yeah, they did a break. And it was because they had been
together...
They
wanted to have sex with other people.
No, well maybe.
Yes,
maybe, I don't know. I see this happening a lot more often when people get together at a younger age, right? Like maybe a high school sweetheart, people that met, early on in college, and they, are like, wow, maybe there are other fish
in the
sea.
I love you.
But...
I also think that taking a break probably means more to one person than it does to the other.
Right, yeah. Like it's almost to not hurt the other person who maybe still wants to stay together, but the other one wants to break up.
And yeah, one sees it as an opportunity, and the other person sees it maybe as a way to save the relationship. And Casey, to your point, I see it happening sometimes successfully when there's geography or college involved. You know, so if you're going to go away for the summer.
Oh, college.
I know. But I do know some college couples who are still together. And
we'll always be together.
They made it work because they took a break. You know, because they were away from one another for a stretch. They were not seeing each other over the summer, and they, quote unquote, took a break. And then when they got back to school, they got back together.
Steve, right. Why will we always be together?
Because we love each other.
Yes, right. I'll tell you this. To this point, I think if, to me, I would take a break and not, I would clear my head. Mm-hmm. That's what that would be about. Because if you're taking a break and you're saying, to me, the parameters are, let's think about this and then come back to this and see where we stand.
Yeah.
It's not like, and if that's the end result, I don't think you go off and start being with other people. I think you sort of clear the deck a little bit and just ruminate on it.
Well, again, so there you go. Like,
right?
Well, that's.
Or am I nuts? Or
I think you're nuts. Okay. You're the one who's sitting at home waiting. Hey, you're just going to give her space, and she's got like every hole is filled. You know,
but is this? But I mean, honestly,
she wants to try something new.
I don't even know what you can do in someone's ear. But I'm gonna say this. But what if you're both saying this?
Well, yeah.
Right? Is that let's take a break? Yeah. Isn't that usually a mutual decision?
But Nick had mentioned geography, and I do have friends that. They broke up because an opportunity was presented to the girl to go do something really cool for her job.
Have sex with other guys far away.
No, so and she wasn't going to go.
Okay.
Right? So she had an opportunity to go work, and I believe it was Hawaii. And she wasn't going to go because of my friend. And he broke up with her. This is from what I understand. He broke up with her because he's like,
set you free.
This is a great opportunity. I don't want you to
miss
out on this because. Wow. And now they're married. Now they're married and they live in paradise.
And they hate each other.
I have a bizarre file story that is the exact opposite of that coming up in just a little bit. I will get to that in a little while. I think that statistically, and this is just a guess, that people who go on a break and then they get back together, I think they're eventually going to break up again.
Yeah, I
think that they're
going to
get a divorce. I think just something.
I think so. Or else you.
Well, you start worrying too. You start worrying about the jealousy involved. You know, if you were on a break and you were hooking up with other people, which is it seems likely.
I can't talk right now. I'm with Ben Simmons.
You know, that gets in your head. You know, and jealousy can ruin a relationship.
Yeah, and we have all been around the block. You know, so you get concerned about. All right, well, how are my children going
been
to
around the block?
Kathy's a good girl. She doesn't even poop.
I don't mean like that, Kathy. I just mean we have life experience and stuff like that. And I have friends that have they literally been together since freshman year of high school.
Right.
And it's just this crazy, amazing relationship. But that is the anomaly. And I was just talking to the mom about that. I said, what do you do when your daughter or son or whoever starts dating somebody and you remember, oh, my God, I love this person. Yeah, and you guys are sophomores in high school.
I love you.
And you're like, oh, it's not going to work out, you know. But, like, how can you say that?
You can't.
Yeah.
All right, let me go to some calls. I have Clinton on the line. Hey, Clinton, good morning.
That's a good Nell.
That's not bad. All right, Clinton, what's your story, bud?
All right, so I'm married now to the same girl I took a break with. She was in college for 3 years. It was tough with the long-distance relationship, and I took it upon myself to say, hey, let's take a break. Let's see how this works out. And I guess you could say people love each other that much, they come back to each other.
All right. So the old, if you love something, set it free. And if it doesn't come, if it comes back to you, it's meant to be, right?
How long have you been married?
I've been married for 5 years.
Okay.
All right.
There's still time.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
Preston.
No, listen, I wish nothing but the best for you guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Good luck to you, Clinton. We'll talk to you later.
Why is your professor here?
I will go to Tim. Hey, Tim, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? You rock.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right, you did the break thing?
Yeah, I mean, so me and my girlfriend were dating for like 6 or 7 months, and I got an opportunity to move out to Colorado, and I was strongly considering that, and we took a break. I never ended up moving out. So we started meeting back up and slowly started dating again, and we were back together. Went to Jamaica and I knocked her up, and now we had a seven.
Now you're tethered for the rest of your life.
So you're saying when you come back from the break, immediately impregnate her to seal the deal.
That's it, man.
All right.
How long did the break last?
It was about like 3 or 4 months.
All right. And it was because you were going to be moving to Colorado?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we had both dated other people in that time, too, and we just kind of gradually moved back to hanging out to each other, to dating each
okay.
other.
Okay.
Did you... Quick question, Tim. Did you simply date, or were you having relations with these people you were with?
We were both having relations with other people.
All right. Okay. See, I think that's a
and
tougher...
We're open about it, and it's not like nothing we hide. And she's not a jealous girl. I'm not a jealous guy, so it seems to be working out great. We're happier now than ever.
All right. All right. Well, that's cool, man. Again, yeah. I think I just have a perception that statistically it's less likely to work.
Yeah, I don't think the concept of taking a break is the thing that doesn't necessarily work. It's the... What predicates the break?
Right.
Is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you guys are constantly fighting or right. this, you know, whatever, but...
That's an issue, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, look who's on the hotline
what?
Case. We're going to go to him.
Oh,
this is normally
hey.
Not Wasn't the type of conversation that you would expect to call like this, but I guess he's not just a doctor. He's a love doctor.
He is a love doctor.
A love doctor. Dr. Mike Sirigliano from Penn Medicine and Fox 29. Good morning, sir.
Hello, I heard this, and I must tell you that my beautiful, amazing, lovely wife that has chosen in a crazy fashion to hook up to this train from hell.
Right.
We dated a long time. I met her when I was an intern.
Wow.
And I was married to my job. She was kind of my mistress, to be honest, and she still is. And the bottom line is that we broke up twice. I just wasn't ready. I was scared to death. I mean, you guys know it takes me half an hour to figure out and what antibiotic or what treatment to give you. So this is like a lifelong decision.
So you,
and I didn't want to have to go through, you know, the legal expenses of not doing it more, doing it more than once.
Right. Hang on. So you broke up with her?
Yeah, I just
both times
wasn't ready. I was scared. It wasn't like I was out there gallivanting.
Mike,
around.
Did you frame it as, okay, let's just go our separate ways, or was it under the pretense of let's take a breather, let's take a break?
I told Elizabeth that I just wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
And after a period of time, I thought, what the heck am I doing with this nonsense? And luckily, by the grace of God, she didn't move on. And so I think that it all depends on the circumstances. Certainly, it was never a bad relationship. I think I just wasn't ready.
Yeah.
At the time.
Was she having second thoughts as well, or was she full steam ahead? This is the man.
No, I was the full champion of being a neurotic mess.
Okay.
It sounds like she was putting the pressure on you, Mike.
Well, when her sister...
Did she get you pregnant?
No, I didn't get her pregnant.
No, you pregnant.
Oh, me. No. It just wasn't the right time. And then it was the right time. And we've been married now 17 years. We have two children.
And they're wonderful. And she's wonderful. And as we often say to each other, we are wildly lucky... for having women with such bad judgment.
Oh, God, yes.
I don't know.
Thank God Claire can look past my multitude of issues and still stays with me.
Well, you and I agree on that, Steve. I mean, not that you're hard to live with. I'd marry you.
Thank
but
you.
I mean, but the bottom line is that when it comes down to it, I feel very lucky that I have someone that gets me. And Steve, we've talked about that. You know, when it comes down to it, you need someone that loves you for you.
Yeah.
And it sounds quaint and romantic and all of that, but I want someone that's there for me, seeing me at my worst. And all of the other trappings and all of that stuff are fine and dandy. But when it comes down to it, I want someone that's a life partner that's going to be there for me, and
of
I
course.
Will be there for them.
But the question is, Dr. Mike, did you dabble a little while you were on these breaks, and or did she?
We both did.
Okay.
A tad.
All right.
Nothing dramatic. And when it all came down to it, I realized that I had something special.
Yes.
That there was something there that I was looking for all along.
So and a quick question. Do you think the break works better if there is dabbling involved? Or should it be a more contemplative, let me think about this and abstain?
It depends where you're at. In my personal experience,
let's say you're a priest.
No. It helped me realize that I had something really special, and I did go out and dated a bit, but nothing was there that made it as high level as what I had. I
okay.
just wasn't ready, and I'm the worst thing you can do is force it. And then you realize that either you made a mistake or you weren't ready, and then you have lawyers involved. I mean, I'm a firm believer in that. I think the two most important things in life are, one, picking the right career, and you want to do it because you love it and you're passionate about it, like all of you are in what you do.
Yep.
And secondly, picking a life partner that you love, that's there for you, and is friend plus up.
Agreed.
All right.
Yes, you, and you are the love doctor.
You are.
Yes.
Well. I don't know.
We love you.
We love you.
Love you.
Hey,
do I have to shower before my appointment tomorrow?
Oh, wait, I already got rid of it.
Sorry.
Does he have to shower?
I'm here.
Does he have to shower before his appointment tomorrow?
The hell does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Am I getting the...
Your butt check?
Yeah, am I getting the full compliment tomorrow, Mike?
Oh, you are.
Okay.
Don't you shower before...
I have this is Nick Week.
Yeah, it is
Nick
Week.
Family right here, right now.
Yeah, I know you're on the phone with us and there's family waiting.
She's waiting.
Yeah, all right.
Mike, use your ET finger on Nick tomorrow.
Oh my God. I thought you two were on a break.
I love you.
We were on a break.
All right, thanks, Dr. Michael. See you later. Oh my God. Right, the shower.
Well, I didn't know if I should shower tonight or tomorrow.
Do you brush
morning.
Your teeth before you go to the dentist?
Not always. Oh,
then clean out your bunghole before you go.
Yeah, you should always shower right before or the morning of. All right. Let me see. Do we have time for another call or two?
Just one or two.
One more. There's a lot of good calls up here.
Yeah.
Several people that have gone through this on a number of occasions, and they've gotten back together and are still together.
Line call number one. Five.
Yeah.
Line five?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I will do that very one. And call line five is Kelly. Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Wonderful. So your break just started yesterday?
Yes. So I think that Dr. Mike hit it like the nail on the head. I just am, like, I wouldn't say I'm nervous for commitment because we've been together for like 4 years.
Right.
But we're so serious. And he's like, I think it's like, maybe I'm just justifying it, but I think it's okay to have doubts. And I don't want to figure that out at his expense and just let him wait for me to figure it out, you know?
Wow. No, that's very honest. And that's very, honestly, be as candid and straight up. The last thing you want to do is let the situation get more complex. How is he reacting to this?
I mean, he was mad, but I think it's easier to be mad than it is for him to feel sad. But I think he was like angry, but I know that, like, if I were to call him right now, he would be like, what the heck are we doing, you know? And I know, like, in my heart that, like, I should be with him, but I need to kind of, like, work out my own stuff before I can just, like, jump in, because I'm so, like, so much trying to figure out my own stuff that it's hard for me to give him 100% of me, and, like, that's just unfair.
Okay,
and
Kelly.
I don't plan on having, quote-unquote, every hole filled.
As Casey put it.
Instead
of one hole filled. Yeah. How do you feel? Hang on just a second, though, Kelly. How do you feel about him dating other people while you guys aren't officially a couple anymore?
I mean, that would really hurt my heart, but I'm not here to make decisions for him and tell him what's best to do. If he finds someone, then I know that's meant to happen. I'm not going to think about that because that's not going to help me in my situation.
Right.
But, I mean, I hope not, but at the same time, he's going to do what's best for him, and he's a smart guy.
All right. It's got to be tough, but I understand what you're saying. You want to make sure that everything is all systems go, and so you're taking a break, and you don't want to get
you know, get even further down the path and realize you're not into this. But so you say if he gets involved or starts dating some other people, you're just going to have to, you know.
You're going to have to be okay with it.
Have to be okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have said like, hey, let's take a break for.
Yeah.
For him just to sit and wait for me. Like that's even more messed up than him just like being along for the ride.
Here, you know what you can do like a romantic comedy movie plot and have like a friend of yours start seeing him, but just keep it just hold until they have sex.
You sound like you've got a really level head about it, Kelly.
Yes.
Yeah. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
You're going to be fine. You're going to.
It was weird y'all started talking about it this morning. I was like, I have to call. This is weird.
I hope you figure things out because what you don't want for either of you is a waste of time.
Yes.
Exactly.
Because something great might get away from you. And that could be either him or someone else. And I don't know, you know, what's right for you. But anyhow.
Yeah.
As I say, it's better to have loved and lost than to never see O.J. Simpson coming around the corner with a knife.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I did not know.
Yeah, that's what the saying goes.
Thank you, Kelly.
And his Bruno Mallies.
We'll see you later. All right. Anyhow, interesting. Well, apparently Ariana and her man were, what's his name, Pete Davidson?
Yes.
Yeah, they were. He was on a break, and now they're married. He's married to
Ariana. Engaged.
Engaged. I'm sorry. You're right. Yes, they got engaged very, very quickly, like within a month or so. All right. Thanks for the calls. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. I have some more great Bizarre File stories. And like I said, Casey, I got one the opposite of what the story you told just a moment ago.
All right.
And more coming up in just a sec. Stay with us.
This summer, surprise! The MM Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right with food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
Let's do the Bizarre File.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
And it is sponsored by A.D. Moyer, voted the number one window dealer in the Tri-County area for 15 consecutive years. Don't just replace your windows, upgrade your home with Anderson Windows, admoyer.com. So I'm going to leave with the story, Casey, I told you about. It was kind of the opposite of the story that you said in this whole taking a break thing. So in the spring of 2014, Eric Abramovitz got the opportunity of a lifetime. He just didn't know it. Abramovitz was the victim of a deception that a Canadian judge called despicable and granted him $350,000 in damages. He is a gifted Canadian clarinetist who received national attention when he was still in his teens. As a student at McGill University, he applied for a spot and a scholarship at the prestigious Colburn Conservatory in Los Angeles, where he would study under the famed clarinet teacher, Yehuda Gilead. I mean, it's a big deal. Gilead.
Yeah. Yes, this is a complete life path, career-altering opportunity.
Now, this is kind of a lengthy story, but follow along with me. Only two spots open up a year for this, and they're seen as launching pads for elite careers. Competition is fierce. Abramovitz made it to the audition phase, but in March of 2014, he saw an email in his inbox telling him that he had been rejected. He said it was heartbreaking. He went through some really dark, sad, and angry days. His girlfriend at the time, a girl named Jennifer Lee, was another musician at McGill, and she consoled him. But Abramovitz's despair was born out of a lie, and Lee's comforting words were, in retrospect, really sick, he told the site. He had actually made it to the Colburn Conservatory. He never saw his acceptance email, however, because Lee got to it first, and she sabotaged him.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, a Canadian judge concluded she didn't want him to move from Montreal to California.
So she didn't want them to break up, so she was going to deny him this chance of a lifetime.
Lee did not respond to a court summons or defend herself in court, by the way. Although he believed that he hadn't made it into the Colburn, Abramovitz was still determined to study under Gilead. Months after the rejection and after he and Lee had broken up, so they break up a couple of months later.
Yeah.
Abramovitz returned to California to audition for a different, less prestigious program. Gilad teaches in that program as well, although participants don't receive as much time with him as the Colburn students do. Oh, so he spoke about the moment that the wheels started turning. He said it was at his second audition before Gilad, in which they had a brief, strange interaction when Gilad said, "Why did you reject me?" This is the instructor saying, "Why did you reject me?" And Abramovitz asked in return, "Why did you reject me?" And he said they couldn't quite figure it out. So after a while, some time passed, and eventually Abramovitz forwarded the fake rejection letter to Gilad, who replied, "I've never seen that before in my life."
Could you imagine when you get that response back and suddenly your mind starts spinning?
Yeah. So one day in 2015, he and a friend set about trying to gain access to the fake email account. And because Abramovitz and Lee once shared a computer, he knew one of her passwords, which he tried. Boom. He got right in immediately. Her email was listed as the recovery email. Her phone was the recovery phone. He said, "We felt like Sherlock Holmes." He sued for $300,000 in damages. A judge concluded that he lost at least that much between the scholarship money and he missed out on the delay of his musical career. The judge added an additional $25,000 as punishment for morally reprehensible conduct and another $25,000 in damages for the incompensable personal loss suffered by Mr. Abramovitz by having closely held personal dream snatched from him by a person he trusted. So I don't know what the story is with her. But after studying, by the way, his career wasn't completely derailed. He studied with Gilad.
He was working at Chippendales.
No, he's now an associate principal E-flat clarinetist at the Toronto Symphony, and he has a new girlfriend, too. But can you believe somebody would do that? This is the guy's dream.
Yeah.
And she shut it down like that.
Yeah, no wonder they broke up.
Yeah, exactly. A 32-year-old man was arrested after screaming at his neighbors and threatening to kill them because his testicles were hurting.
Yeah, man. You know, that's probable cause.
According to an arrest report, a caller reported a white man was on drugs and threatening to kill the neighbors with a gun. Deputies responded and made contact with the man while he was walking out on the road.
Oh, my balls!
The man was soaked from sweat and told police his testicles were hurting. And he said he thought he had parasites from swimming in the creek.
Oh, my balls!
Yes, we know your balls.
An officer asked him what happened.
Oh, my balls!
And he said he was yelling and cursing because his testicles were hurting.
Oh, my balls!
He said he was trying to use his neighbor's phones, but they wouldn't let him.
Oh, my balls!
He was apologetic for cursing and screaming, according to the report.
So parasites from the ocean were making his balls hurt.
I guess.
And that was the reason.
That's why he was screaming that he was going to kill his neighbors. Police found his phone crushed in the middle of the road from where he had apparently thrown it down earlier.
Oh, my balls!
You go crazy when your balls hurt. That's all there is.
True.
A woman is back in jail after she failed to show up in court for an aggravated battery charge. In October of last year, Kimberly Dunn shot her ex-husband in the testicles after he had tried to take an AC unit.
Oh, my balls!
I didn't even plan for these to be together. Dunn's estranged husband said that he came to her home with his brother to pick up the unit. He had discovered that she was attempting to sell it on Facebook, and the couple were going through a divorce. When the man and his brother attempted to unhook the unit, Dunn, the woman, sat on it to prevent the two men from taking it. When the ex-husband approached, he tried to remove her from the AC unit, but Dunn produced a pink stun gun and attempted to electrocute him. Dunn was struck in the head and dropped both the pink stun gun and the handgun. Dunn reportedly got up off the ground and shot him in the testicles with the handgun.
Oh, my balls!
The man's brother pushed Dunn to the ground and attempted to help his brother and drove him to the hospital.
Oh, my balls!
The report said the ex-husband's brother screamed, "You shot my brother!"
Oh, my balls!
And began choking her until she blacked out. Wow.
You know what? I maybe they're on a break.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's what it's about.
Dunn's ex-husband picked up the gun after the shooting and brought it with him to the hospital. Dunn was arrested the same day and was taken to the jail without incident. She told deputies that she didn't mean to shoot her ex-husband in the testicles.
Oh, my balls!
And was only trying to scare him. So she's in trouble.
All for an air conditioner.
One last story, and I love this one. A City of Madison, Wisconsin fire department rescued a 20-year-old UW-Madison student who had climbed a tree and could not get back down.
Oh, my balls!
What does that have to do with it?
I don't know. It just seems to be a theme.
Engine Company 4 was dispatched to Henry Mall on the UW campus. The 20-year-old student climbed a tree there, but soon realized that she didn't know how to get back down.
This happens a lot. It seems like it's going to be a no-brainer. Well, I made it up. It should be easy making it down. And that's where the fear kicks in.
I've had it happen to me before when I was a kid. The student was situated about 8 or 9 feet off the ground. She wasn't even that high
up. Pussy.
And she apparently strategized for about 20 minutes before ultimately calling 911 for assistance. Firefighters propped up an extension ladder, and the woman climbed out of the tree.
They should have chopped the tree down.
Without incident, she was not injured and needed no medical attention. Asked if she was done climbing trees for the day, the fire department post says the student replied, maybe. So they actually had to come and get a human out of a tree. And that is the bizarre file for now, my friends. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back in a second. I got something to give away. We'll get to that in a moment in form of the lesson question. And we'll get trash and music news, too. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
So I got to thank my family for a phenomenal Father's Day. It was just the best day all day long.
Did they leave the house?
It was great because I didn't. Not at one moment in the day did I feel that there was anything that I had to do, except for prep for the show today, which I did, and that's all right. But I didn't have to go clean this up or pick that up or make this for dinner or whatever. They cooked all the meals all day long. And
you get breakfast?
I got breakfast. I was asked to. They took my order the night before.
Nice.
The day before,
so like a hotel.
Exactly. Yeah. So I knew exactly what I was getting the next day. And what?
What'd you get?
Oh, I just, no, nothing crazy. I mean,
juice.
Yeah, just juice. No, I just asked for, I wanted scrambled eggs. And usually I do them over medium or something. What am I talking about? This is stupid stuff. It was just breakfast.
It wasn't like Eggs Benny or anything like that.
No Eggs Benny. It was,
I did ask
for kielbasa, which was a little bit of an odd request for breakfast. Rochelle was like, really? I'm like, yeah, I want to have sausage tomorrow, but I don't want to just have regular breakfast sausage. I want to have some kielbasa.
God,
you know what?
Damn kielbasa.
It was freaking awesome. Why did he ask for kielbasa?
God damn it, Paul. Kielbasa, son of a bitch. Yeah, we'll do it.
And we went out to lunch. I took a picture because, and I meant to send it to you guys, but we went to Butcher and Barkeep and I got sexy fries and I meant to send you guys a picture because I've told you about them before. I don't think you've ever seen them before.
Bring them in.
They won't travel well.
They won't.
Yeah, there's damn no it. Way. Here, I'll show Casey a picture of them. That's
sexy.
Let me see.
Yeah, baby. They're amazing.
Wait a second.
Truffle oil on that?
They're phenomenal. They have truffle oil and I think they might have hollandaise. Either that or...
Celebrate.
What's the other one?
Hollandaise.
Bernays.
It's either Bernays or Hollandaise.
It's another sauce.
Anyway, it's really, really good. So anyhow, it was a wonderful day, and I did, I even got out and played golf and did it late in the day after our conference call. So it didn't take up family time. I did want to have family time during the day, and it was cool, man. The U.S. Open was on. It was a nice, relaxing, beautiful day. I swam. Yes, I have a pool privilege.
Yeah.
And so swam. By the way, perfect combination, hot tub, pool, hot tub. Boom!
Really?
Done. Yes, that's what you want to do.
Hot tub. Privileged. Privileged.
Hot tub, pool, hot tub. Go in that order. You'll be a happy person.
Privileged.
No, so very relaxing. You deserved it, for God's sakes. You know, my lovely wife convinced my pets to get me something for Father's Day. Now, I guess that Claire probably... put up the money for it. But,
yeah. Well, listen,
sure?
Dude. Yeah. Yeah. She's the one that had the litter. So,
yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
She did a lot of the work.
She really does.
No. But anyway, what'd you get?
An Amazon gift card.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, that's really
cool. It's the pets are wonderful. They're not that creative. But they know that I use Amazon all the time.
I got a couple of golf shirts. I got 3 bottles of bourbon. I got a toy. I got a remote control boat.
Ooh, man, for your pool.
That's what you want.
And the hot tub.
Yeah.
Just don't get your nuts caught up in it.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. And,
what?
They got me. Okay. I should have brought this
up. You should have led with this instead of the kielbasa.
They bought me a didgeridoo.
Oh,
my wife, she knows I'm a weirdo. Uh-huh. And so she gets me goofy stuff and she bought me a didgeridoo.
You gonna learn
now,
it?
Did she get it from the didgeridoo warehouse on City Line?
She got it out when Carter and her were out traveling around like last month. And it's actually, you know, didgeridoos are like long.
Yeah.
They look like a giant bong or something.
Is this a
like
travel
that.
Didgeridoo?
It's actually, it's circular. It's like a coil.
It's a didgeridon't.
Yeah.
So do you remember a few years back where MMR had a contest where they were trying to put a band together for... To play with Weezer, maybe?
Yes.
And one of the guys who auditioned with a didgeridoo.
No.
And it was amazing.
Is there more depth to this instrument than where you... Okay, so is this it, Preston?
Yep, that's what I got. There's a picture of it right there. I got that. That's a didgeridoo.
So the guy who auditioned was not doing this. I mean, he was flat... I was like, are you sure that's a didgeridoo? And I wouldn't have believed it if I didn't see the video of it. It was... I mean,
well, here's the test. Could you play Feel So Good by Chuck Mangione on it?
I don't know how that song goes, but. I don't think it would sound like that exactly, but I think you could come close.
Thank you. Thank you for keeping my dream alive.
I wonder if we have.
Preston, how good are you at now? Are you master level?
Oh, no.
I assume it's a fairly easy instrument.
But it scares my dogs, which is kind of
does it?
Yeah,
oh, my God.
They don't
like
it.
They're feeling the rumbling.
They don't like it at all. So a didgeridoo, a couple of shirts, some bourbon, and I think that's all I got. And an RC boat, which is pretty cool. So
an RC tattoo.
Yeah, an RC tattoo.
Of a boat.
Of a didgeridoo.
Nick, did you get your leaf blower or no?
No.
Nick, don't worry. Something might be happening.
No, I'll just put it at that.
I put that request in. Thank you, Steve. Yeah. I put that request in way too late and on air on a program that my ex-wife doesn't listen to. So
you did all the right things.
Honestly, there's not much more you could have done to keep it a secret.
Anyway, thanks to my family for an awesome Father's Day. It was really cool. All right, we need to do today's lesson question, and we're going to give away $50 Rita's Water Ice gift card. What store causes Kathy to have explosive diarrhea?
It's true.
And it's not Target, I'll tell you that right now.
Not true.
215-263-WMMR. What store causes Kathy to have explosive, uncontrollable diarrhea? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Deep Sim Watson, Real Philly Deli. And Casey's Real Philly Deli tour stops this month. Takes him back to Delco, to Bria.
What happened?
Are you snorting?
Choked on some water.
You all right?
I thought that was coming out of your nose. Yes.
It was close, man. I'm okay. Right. Thank you for asking.
So it takes him back to Delco and Bria and Latella's Italian-American Deli and Kitchen. Check them out at WMMR.com, keyword deli. What's up, Steve?
Well, NBA star Matt Barnes telling TMZ that the real reason people in the NBA don't like Tristan Thompson is because, quote, he's a fake-ass tough guy who's all talk but ain't nothing off the court. Barnes also revealed that he firmly believes he's 12 years old.
Oh, my God.
Farrah Abraham will retain her endorsement deal with Jessica Rich Collection clothing line despite her recent arrest for assault. For your information, the Jessica Rich Collection provides elegant evening wear for the woman who wants to provide constant and unfettered access to her balloon knot.
Oh, my God.
And finally, this surprised me, the Jerry Lewis estate putting his huge gun collection up for auction and planning to move everything, including shotguns, pistols, and antique flintlocks. Lewis's collection will be part of a larger celebrity auction, which will also include Debbie Reynolds' huge bazooka collection.
Wow.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
Okay, let's see if somebody knows the answer to this. What store causes Kathy to have explosive diarrhea? And I'm going to go to Nate, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Nate, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing great. So what store causes Kathy to have explosive diarrhea?
That would be Home Goods.
Oh, yeah! Hang on just a second, Nate. We'll get your info. After that correct answer, we'll give you a $50 Rita's Water Ice gift card. You can grab the new Rita's Party Pack, perfect for graduations, birthday, and office parties and family barbecues. Get a free insulated cooler bag with a purchase of 6 quarts of Rita's Water Ice or more. Let's do music news.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Yeah!
And this morning, Music News is brought to you by Skull Shaver. Attention, bald guys, shave your head in less than 90 seconds and say goodbye to nicks, cuts, and scrapes with the all-new Pitbull from Skull Shaver. Use the promo code BALD at skullshaver.com for exclusive discounts. Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker has been diagnosed with blood clots in both arms.
What?
According to a statement issued by the band. As a result, the trio's shows scheduled for this weekend in Las Vegas as part of the residency have been postponed.
What causes that?
I'm not really sure. The band's statement said that Barker's situation was being closely monitored, while Barker himself added, "Drumming is my life, and it kills me that I can't perform for you guys this weekend. I hope to be back as soon as I can." Barker has endured tough times before, of course, including that 2008 plane crash in which four people died, and he was just one of two survivors. He received serious burns over a large portion of his body in the crash and underwent multiple skin graft surgeries. I have no idea if it's related to that or not.
You remember, that eventually led to DJ AM committing suicide. He got the pain and the pain killers he was taking. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Linkin Park singer Mike Shinoda revealed in a new interview with Rolling Stone that he had late bandmate Chester Bennington's voice in his ear in in-ear monitors during some of the songs the surviving members of the group performed at its Bennington tribute concert last October. He said, "You know, I'm used to hearing the songs in a certain way, so we've started making practice tracks. So if anybody's missing, we can turn on the album version of their track and practice as if they were there. When you think about some of my parts, we would go back and forth, so I would want to hear that other voice of Chester." He also said that while performing at the show with guest vocalists like Gavin Rossdale, Jonathan Davis, and M. Shadows, and others, the band came to a realization. He said, "The week after the show, I was listening back, and I was going, God, these people were all really great singers, and none of them were Chester. It became obvious that you can't just hire some schmuck to get up there and sing with us because they won't be able to hit half of the stuff." Shinoda said on a recent podcast he didn't know whether Linkin Park would continue, adding that's the million-dollar question, so we'll have to wait and see. A contingent of Foo Fighters fans are growing concerned for Dave Grohl's voice, fearing that he may have done permanent damage to his vocal cords. After the band played last Monday night in Belgium, one fan wrote at the Foo's Reddit page following the show that he was worried about Dave's voice. I said I was at the Antwerp gig last night, and I thought the state of Dave's voice was kind of worrying towards the final third, it began cutting out entirely, noticeably on breakout. I said, I know it's been an issue since the start of the tour, but it's clear that it's not a cold anymore, and it can't be any good long term. A few other people commented on that as well, but no official word on if he's having some issues.
Well, they'll be here in, 2 weeks?
Is that the deal?
No, 3 weeks.
Okay. So we'll find out then. After teasing they'd be working together, Imagine Dragons and superstar DJ Kygo have released a collaborative track called Born to Be Yours. Born to Be Yours feels to me like the perfect combination of my sound mixed with the band's iconic elements and vocals, Kygo said. Imagine Dragons are one of my favorite bands, and it's an honor to finally let everyone hear what we've been working on. They recently collaborated with R&B artist Khalid. For a mashup of their retrospective hit Thunder and Young, Dumb, and Broke. Kygo, meanwhile, has previously worked with U2, One Republic, and Coldplay. Imagine Dragons currently touring the U.S. behind the band's new album, Evolve.
My sister-in-law and nephew went and saw them in Hershey on Saturday night, and they did the stadium show out there, and they had a blast. And I know those guys kind of get a little bit of crap from some people, but it's such a family-friendly show. It's such a positive show and an upbeat kind of a show that I'm a big fan.
Cool. Yeah. Black Sabbath guitarist Tony Iommi says that he agrees with Ozzy Osbourne that the band should play the 2022 Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, England, the city where the group formed in 1968. He told the Birmingham Mail, "I think it would be a great thing to do to help represent Birmingham. I'm sorry. I'm up for it. Let's see what happens," he said. Ozzy recently told ITV News that he would definitely consider playing the opening ceremony of the games after his farewell tour ends. He said, "Yeah, that'd be fantastic with Black Sabbath or on my own." So whether that happens or not, we will find out soon. Mention this in entertainment news. Blues Brothers guitarist Matt Guitar Murphy has died, according to the Blues Brothers social media accounts run by Judy Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. Murphy was 88 years old, and according to their post, was one of the most respected sidemen in blues, playing on many albums and in many concerts. He released his first album, Way Down South, in 1990. He also starred in, of course, both Blues Brothers movies, 1980's The First One and the 1998's Blues Brothers 2000. Murphy had said in a 1999 interview that he enjoyed making the movies with the Blues Brothers. He said, or especially the first one, he said, at that time I was in heaven. I had never done a movie before, and I didn't want it to end. We had so much fun doing that thing. A post on the official Blues Brothers Instagram page said, through his music, he will live forever. We ask that you join us while we offer condolences to the entire Murphy family. So sad news there. Nine Inch Nails played a trio of shows at The Joint in Las Vegas, where the band was joined by Gary Numan on stage.
Of Cars fame?
That's him. And debuted a new song called Ahead of Ourselves. The track will be included on the new Nine Inch Nails disc, Bad Witch, which is out this Friday. The band also gave what may be its first live performance of Joy Division's Digital. They'll be touring North America a little bit later on this fall. So, yeah, this guy, this Gary Newman.
This guy.
Yeah.
This is the guy who was with the Nine Inch Nails.
Gary Newman.
At that concert that Preston just said.
Alice in Chains guitarist Jerry Cantrell has a featured role in a new short film. It's called Dad Band. Written and starring W. Earl Brown of Dead Word and Preacher fame.
Huh.
Cantrell plays a plumber.
Dead Wood.
What did I say?
You said Dead Word.
Dead Word?
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway.
Squidward's brother.
Dead Wood and a preacher. So Cantrell plays a plumber who was once in a band that was signed and later dropped. His previous acting roles, I didn't know this. Well, I knew he had a part in Singles. But he was also in the movie Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
Had a bit part. Who was he?
He works in the copy shop, and Jerry comes in late at night. He writes his little manifesto, his memo, that wins over Renee Zellweger. And Jerry's the guy working behind the desk. And he says something to the effect of, like, follow your heart, man. Or, you know, he gives him these sage words of wisdom. But he and...
It's a Cameron Crowe movie, so...
Yeah, he and Cameron Crowe have been friends for a long time. Yeah, here it is up on the big screen in the studio, Preston. It's
been a while since I've seen Jerry Maguire, so...
It even looked like Catcher in the Rye.
So anyhow. That guy. Yeah, there he is. Sure enough, long hair and the whole deal. All right, and then one last story. Marilyn Manson has released a cover version of Gerard McMahon's Cry Little Sister, which is best known as the theme to the 1987 cult classic horror movie The Lost Boys.
Oh, yeah.
He recorded the song for the soundtrack of the forthcoming X-Men movie, New Mutants. We have this. I'm gonna play this. So the New Mutants is now due in August of 2019 after originally being scheduled to open this past spring.
A lot of people are accusing him of plagiarism because he now goes by Papa Smurfitus, which is too close.
Yeah.
Do you have the original version of it?
Yeah.
So in case people want a point of reference.
I mean, it sounds just like that one, but let me grab that real quick.
I'll go digging around and find it. Manson, by the way, has reportedly already filmed a video for his version of Cry Little Sister.
Mm.
And so we will hear that. I don't know at what point in the movie, but it will be a part of the soundtrack. So that is...
Oh, if you don't have it, sorry.
No, I do. I don't know how I label things. And I checked under Lost Boys first, but it's probably not. It's probably under Thou. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh, really? I hear you, man.
Okay.
Word.
I thought it would have been under Lost Boys, but...
So...
It's probably under Joel Schumacher.
I saw
Thou.
Thou?
Thou shall not fear.
Pretty similar, yeah. Pretty faithful.
Yeah. Pretty much the same. And that is what I have in music and news for you this morning, my friend. We're going to take a quick break. Come back in a second. Trip to Paris, France for our Word of the Week prize. Don't miss that first letter. We'll have it for you when we get back.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
I do a bunch of thank yous, but it's just been us. Thank you, guys. You know, bless you, Kathy.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you all.
Thank you.
You know, you just sneezed.
Yes. Kathy's coming down with something.
Yeah, poor kid.
Ugh.
I know.
Like the end, and I think I probably got it from Jace. It was the end of the school year, and there were all these kids out sick
right at the end.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Leave with a sickness.
Didn't I say to you last week?
Just don't send them.
Just, Hester
dear Dunn. Teachers, my son isn't coming in today because it's sacked. You're truly Matt Kalpa.
You did tell her that.
I did.
You said just have him stay home because they're gonna drag it home. So and now you're sick.
Yeah. Sick.
Oh well. What are you gonna do?
Diary day two. I am still sick.
As long as you're not sick next week because it's right? Bucksco versus Delco, baby. You gotta be in your prime. You gotta be in peak physical condition.
Yeah, I am.
In order to participate. Casey clearly.
Yes.
Has been working hard to get his body ready for this.
A little chocolate donuts, right, guys?
Absolutely. Well, you've been down working out on your jet skis and stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Driving into buoys.
Yep. But listen, we have a very cool prize that we're going to give away by the end of the week. It's on Friday. Excited about this. And it is a trip to Paris, so we need to do the letter.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
B. As in baguette.
All right, we have a B.
That's French!
Is it? I thought so.
Letter number one. We have a trip to Paris for the premiere of Mission Impossible Fallout, including two round-trip airline tickets, three nights hotel stay, two hop-on, hop-off bus and boat ride passes, and admission for two to the premiere screening, and that's on July 12th. Mission Impossible Fallout hits theaters nationwide on July 27th. So keep that date in mind. And if you're serious about this, make sure you have your passport and all that stuff ready to go because you're going to need it if you're going to be traveling.
While you're there, you're just a stone's throw from France. Check it out.
You're in
France. You should, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Right there in France. It's Paris, France.
So, ah.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to thank our sponsors. Today's Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the President Steve Show. The President Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. And, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Do it.
It's the President Steve Show is brought to you by Juventus. It is written phonetically for me. U, the word U, V-I-N-T-O-O-S-E.
Okay.
It's Juventus.
Juventus. Juventus. Brought to you by the International Champions Cup featuring Juventus versus FC Bayern at Lincoln Financial Field, Wednesday, July 25th.
Oh, Juventus.
Juventus.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's Juventus.
No, I know what it says, but that's not how it's pronounced.
Okay.
Unless I'm wrong. And listen, I'm wrong most of the time. But Juventus, I believe, is an Italian club.
Okay.
And Bayern is a German club. And so they're playing at the link.
I got a bone to pick whoever wrote this phonetically.
Because they wrote it phonetically as in Juventus.
Yeah, Juventus. But Juventus?
I believe that's...
I believe you, personally. So, anyhow...
Anyway!
July 25th, Lincoln Financial Field.
Anyway!
Tickets at internationalchampionscup.com.
To whoever who wrote that phonetic pronunciation, eat my dunk.
Okay, you heard it. Tomorrow on our program, this is exciting, our good friend Rob McElhenney will be joining us.
Also known as Conan the Barbarian now.
Yeah, he's gotten jacked up, man.
Yeah.
He's worked out real, real hard, and he's showing it off. You can check out pictures online. In fact, Chase Utley has a picture of a shirtless Rob McElhenney.
And whatever, so he looks great with a shirt off. But, you know, he's married to a hot chick, and he's a millionaire. Wait.
So he'll be on the program tomorrow and Tattoo Tuesday. So somebody's getting some ink. That's it. We're done. Ray John, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Hey, psycho neighbor. How about getting your dryer, spare tire, and all the other out on the lawn to a junkyard? It looks like Sanford and Son out there. Oh, my God. You are a psycho. Skibbity-bop-bop-de-bop-bop. Woo! Hi, Grandma. I'm back, baby.
Next message.
Hey, I just wanted to wish all the dads that
MMR, a very happy Father's Day. I've been a longtime listener of just about 13 years, and I love you.
Next message.
100,000 cars on the road today. It's absolutely gorgeous, and everybody's windows are up. Maybe take your face out of your phone and enjoy nature.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.